It's time for Truman State University football.
It's an option pass. Saliba Jorgensen, touchdown, ball game. Truman up 27-6.
Brought to you by Buck Brothers, Sunny Slope Automotive Repair, and pre-owned car and truck sales, Colton Steakhouse and Grill, Century 21 Whitney Agency, Pancake City, Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute, and Truman State University, all of Kirksville, Columbia Orthopedic Group of Columbia, Sheraton Valley, Samaritan Hospital, Horizon Credit Union of Macon, Capital Paving and Construction, and Moberly Area Community College with campuses in Moberly, Kirksville, Columbia, Mexico, Hannibal, and Macon.
Here comes the blitz, and they've got the screen set up to Salima. 15, 10, 5, score it! Touchdown, Truman!
Let's go to the booth with the voice of the Bulldogs, Brad Boyer.
Hello and welcome to Saginaw, Michigan. The Bulldogs make another visit north to the state of Michigan, their fourth year in a row that we will play a game in the state of Michigan. And for the very first time, the Bulldogs match up with Saginaw Valley State. They are the Cardinals, and we are at Harvey Randall Wick Stadium here, a turf field with some tremendous facilities we can talk about as we move along. It's going to be a warm afternoon for Bulldog football with temperature readings in the 80s. This is game number three of the schedule. The Bulldogs fell to another GLIAC team. The GLIAC, the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, of which Saginaw Valley is a part of. Michigan Tech in the opener at Stokes Stadium, 20-10, just had no offense that day. And then last Saturday showed some promising signs on offense. The first down totals were big. Third down conversion rate, Kevin, was strong.
Yep.
Time of possession was where they wanted for the Bulldogs at 35 minutes, and yet only able to get the ball in the end zone one time on offense. Kevin White, I bring you into the discussion. We got to build on that.
Yeah, one time and nothing in the second half where the adjustments were made by both teams. The Dogs had a struggle in that second half. Just really could not get into an offensive flow. A lot of snaps high off to the right, lost some rhythm that Jaden Barr could have got into. I thought Jaden had a little bit of happy feet back there in the pocket as he did not let his line set up to give him a chance to get some passes down the field. He was taking off several times. So I think looking back at film, hopefully the coaches and Jaden are going to talk about that and standing in that pocket and delivering those passes, because there were some receivers open through the middle, but they weren't his first options. So that's something that Jaden's going to have to go on. And then the running game was really, again, outside of Jaden scrambling for yards, it really was not there. And part of it is that run-pass option offense where the running back and the offensive line have got to mesh together on where to go.
Yeah, Jaden rushed for 100 yards, but the Dogs fell. It's a pretty good first half as Lawrence Woods made things interesting in the first half. He had a muffed punt, which set up a short field and an 18-yard touchdown run that got Morningside out on top. But immediately, Woods made up for the mistake with this outstanding run. That's the 10 by Woods. He'll try to make up for his mistake, and he zips through a seam to the 35 to the 40. Picks up a block at midfield, turns on the burners. 20, 10, 5, touchdown Truman. A 90-yard answer for Lawrence Woods. After he gives 7 points on the muff punt, he takes it back to the house.
Had the call last week of that one. Woods did have another muff punt, which resulted in 7 points for Morningside. Bulldogs led 17-14 on a Jaden Barr short touchdown run and a John Scheiderer 27-yard field goal, but Morningside was able to take advantage of a fake field goal to score a touchdown, go on top 21-17 at half, and did not trail in the second half. So the Bulldogs looking for their first win after a 5-6 season 1 year ago. They will face a team, Saginaw Valley State, that also, Kevin, went 5-6 last year. They were 3-6 in the GLVC. The Cardinals in the GLIAC preseason tied for fourth in the coaches' poll. They come into this game with two victories over Alderson Broaddus, West Virginia, 45-7, and over Walsh, Ohio, by a score of 41-10. That certainly sounds impressive, and we'll give them credit, but not the strongest of schedules to start the season.
Not the strongest, but their offense has found their rhythm and gotten into where they're averaging over 40 points a game. Their defense has been stout so far, so, of course, they are looking for and building momentum as they head into their conference season after this. And I tell you what, this place is fantastic up here, and we'll get into it later on. But you could see with the facilities that they have provided, you know, this team, football team, has struggled probably the last 4 or 5 years after their playoff run in 2013. And they have built it back up, and they are using these facilities and really have taken a stand on bringing in some good recruits to this area.
And they have a terrific receiver that we'll be watching today. We certainly saw an NAIA All-American in Connor Niles last week. Chad Galliard is a sophomore. He was the GLIAC Freshman of the Year. And if you don't know much about the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, they have Grand Valley State, they have Ferris State, they have Ashland, three teams that perennially are in the top 25. And so it's a very good football conference. And Galliard was a first-team All-Conference receiver, Freshman of the Year, All-Region. And he was honorable mention All-American as a freshman, as he had 42 catches for 934 yards and a touchdown. He comes in the first two games with 15 receptions. He's got good size, Kevin, 6'3", 205. They've had a history of receivers that have gone on and played at the next level. They believe this kid may be as good or better than any of them.
He might be next. And, again, as you said, Connor Niles last week for Missouri Southern or Morningside torched that secondary for over 200 yards, so that's going to be a key that D'Anthony Knight, J.D. Hurd, Jordan Siegel, they're going to have to clamp down a little bit tighter on that pass defense.
Ryan Conklin is the quarterback. He is a three-year starter, so brings experience, has started since his freshman year. He was honorable mention GLIAC last year with 2,329 yards passing. Running back is by committee. We'll likely see three running backs today. Defensively, they've got a very good end who has transferred in from Rowan. He's out of New Jersey. And when he came in last year, they thought he was so athletic. He played defensive end at Rowan that they'd make him a wide receiver. So he played wide receiver last year. Didn't really work out. Failed experiment. Put him back at defensive end. And he's been a menace so far this season with leading the team in tackles with 13. He'll be one to watch on the edge. Their middle linebacker, Michael Alexander, second team All-Conference. But I think, Kevin, a lot of this is about the Bulldogs today.
Yeah,
better execute, play cleaner football.
And special teams. That's the key. Being able to receive punts, being able to hold on to it. And then watch out for those fakes. I mean, that gimmick play last week threw the Dogs for a loop and ended up being the game winner.
Can't turn it over five times in a game against good opponents like Saginaw Valley State. Two teams are out warming up on the field. Coming up when we continue on the Truman Tailgate, I'll have Mitch Nichols, Hannibal receiver on the Bulldog beat. We'll take a page out of Hank's history book, and I'll go down on the field and get a quick word with offensive coordinator Jason Kilday. But coming up next, it's the GLVC today. We'll find out what else is happening with conference schools. Associate Commissioner of Communications Jeff Smith joins me next. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Do I qualify for wound healing treatment at Samaritan Hospital's Wound Healing Center?
If you are suffering from diabetic ulcers, infections, radiation injuries, or wounds that haven't healed within 30 days, you can call the Samaritan Hospital Wound Healing Center today for an evaluation. There's no referral needed. Call 660-395-8330. That's 660-395-8330, and let them help you heal. Samaritan Hospital in Macon. Community-focused, personalized service.
Joining me on the GLVC today, Associate Commissioner of Communications Jeff Smith, as we take a trip around the league. And let's begin with the minors. Missouri S&T off to a good start. And in the Hawkeye State today, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, after William Jewell only saw half of one quarter of action against Drake, Missouri S&T hopeful today we'll see four solid quarters against the D1 opponent as the minors look to go 3-0 on the season. S&T off to a solid start this year and has been picking up conference accolades as well. Defensive end Tershawn Wharton and punter Jonathan Manowitz were named this week as the GLVC Defensive and Special Teams Players of the Week following their efforts in the Miners' 27-16 win at Northwood last week. In FCS play, Drake dropped a 48-16 contest to number 14 Montana last Saturday. They were blitzed on nearly every play last week and turned the ball over three times, which should certainly get the attention of Wharton and his pressure, and the fact that S&T leads the country, Division II, that is, in passing defense and is sixth overall in total yards allowed. Of note, Drake 20th in FCS play in passing yards and 27th in stopping the run, so no doubt they will have to contend with S&T's Deshaun Jones in the backfield.
Lincoln Blue Tigers at home for the first time. Looks like a new opponent, UW Oshkosh.
Yeah, Lincoln welcomes in Division III opponent, UW Oshkosh, just a week after battling D1 foe Missouri State in a game in which the Blue Tigers were out to an early 10-0 lead before falling 52-24. Now, next week, Lincoln will move back to D2 play with the start of GLVC action, but the Blue Tigers won't have a free pass this week with the Titans, who D3Football.com has as the fourth-ranked team in Division III. Oshkosh playing in their third of five straight road games to open the season.
Wow, that's tough. McKendree, the other 2-0 team along with S&T, tell me about their assignment at home today.
Yeah, as you mentioned, McKendree 2-0 for the third time in 4 years. They're back home to welcome Bowie State, a CIAA team that defeated Alderson Baradas 38-31 last week. Bulldogs are 1-1 on the season. They totaled 494 yards last week in the win. 365 came from the air. Amir Hall is their quarterback who shined, but he was picked off once and sacked three times. The Bearcats have a solid one under center themselves, Reese Metcalf. He picked up GLVC Offensive Player of the Week honors following a career day. Four touchdown passes, a season-best 260 yards, and McKendree's 34-17 victory over Kentucky State last week. Metcalf leads the league in passing yards and efficiency. Of note, Bowie State is 121st in D2 in scoring defense, allowing 35.5 points per game, which the Bearcats should like, having put up 34 in each of their two wins thus far.
All right, let's talk William Jewell now, their next game, and they put up a pretty good fight last week, didn't they, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, this for the second straight week, they're poised for a tough battle, this time on the road at Findlay today to face an Oiler team that recently dropped from 19th to outside the top 25 poll following a 59-13 drubbing at number 9 Ferris State last week. And while that was going on, as you kind of alluded to, William Jewell put quite the scare into number 1 and defending D2 national champion Texas A&M Commerce in a 27-17 loss last week. And what was the Cardinals' first official game of the season, as that Drake opener was canceled due to lightning. So Jewell controlled the ball for 34-plus minutes against Commerce. They were 3-for-3 on fourth down tries, but Commerce also was 7-of-10 on third down conversions, and that's something that Finley's ranked 11th nationally in that category. So the Cardinals have to be primed on defense to force those punting situations today.
And the one evening game in the league is at Quincy.
Yeah, Quincy picked up their first win of the season last week, 31-24 over Kentucky Wesleyan. Now they stay home to look for another against St. Francis today. Freshman QB Tywan Harris scored the game winner for the Hawks just 20 seconds left in the game. Finished the day 250-plus total yards, four touchdowns. Solid day for him. St. Francis of Illinois dropped a 49-19 result to St. Francis of Indiana, which is ranked number 1 in NAIA and is a two-time defending national champion. So the Fighting Saints out of Illinois, they're winless on the season, saw a high note last week as Brandon Ruffin, their wideout, broke the school's career record for 23 receiving touchdowns. And in that loss, the Saints gave up 500 total yards and 400 in the air while only mustering 53 yards on the ground and 155 passing yards on offense. So maybe the Hawks can take one from St. Francis of Illinois here tonight.
All right, good update. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Brad.
Jeff Smith joining us from the Great Lakes Valley Conference offices. Coming up next on the Bulldog Beat, a visit with Hannibal receiver Mitch Nichols. You're listening to Truman Football.
Truman State University, located in Kirksville, Missouri, is consistently recognized as one of the nation's best colleges and universities. Most recently, the September-October issue of the Washington Monthly ranked Truman as the seventh best master's university in the nation. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine selected Truman as number 19 on their list of the 100 top values in public colleges. Call us at 800-892-7792 to set up your personal Truman State University visit.
Joining me on the Bulldog Beat, Mitch Nichols, receiver for the Truman Ball Club. And Mitch, coming off a ball game where you caught three balls for 27 yards. Did you feel good about your role with the offense on Saturday?
I did initially. And then looking back, I know I missed some opportunities that we could have capitalized on, that we should have capitalized on, that would have put us in a better situation for the ball game.
Tell me about where the passing game is right now. I know you got some new receivers trying to work into the equation. Hasn't exactly clicked, I'm sure, to everybody's level. Where are you at right now? What needs to improve?
Just focus on the little things I think really needs to improve. Focusing on what we need to refine on, hitting our route depth, running our routes with a purpose, really trying to get open so Jaden can put a ball on us to help our team. Put us in a good situation, move the ball down the field.
As a receiver with a mobile quarterback like Jaden Barr, are you always aware of the fact that, run your route, but when all things break down, keep moving because he's going to keep the play open?
Yeah, he's such a big weapon for us. I mean, he can, get around the pocket really well, and you never know when he's just going to escape, and you got to always keep your eyes out and make sure you're always moving with him.
Mitch Nichols, my guest from Hannibal, Missouri, where you were an all-state running back. How big a transition was it in college to the receiver spot?
It was a little bit of a change, a little bit of a culture shock for sure. So the biggest thing was just learning how to run routes, learning how to use my arms to pump and break down was the biggest transition for me because in high school I rarely split out wide.
Tell me about where the team is right now, 0-2. You still got a couple more non-conference games than the conference season still ahead of you. Guys still have a good attitude and think you can accomplish much?
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say anybody's down, anybody thinks anything different of our team. We just know that we need to execute better to give ourselves a better chance to win. Coach Kilday is putting a great plan for us. We just have to execute that.
What about you as a senior? Do you have to take on an additional leadership role, especially for the young receivers?
As I have aged, I have taken on a more of a leadership role, helping educate the young receivers on what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, how can they improve that, and putting them in a better situation so they can learn from my mistakes so they don't make them in the future as well.
Mitch Nichols, what's your academic focus at Truman?
I am a health science major here at Truman. My concentration is pre-med, so I'm hoping to be a physician one day.
Wow, so you've got some schooling still ahead, right?
Yes, sir.
Any particular focus in that field that you are hoping to attain?
Currently primary care, but I'm going to go in and see whatever sticks.
So when you're done, you graduate from Truman, do you go to another school, or what's your future hold?
So I will graduate in December of 2018, and then I'll have like a little gap period in between graduating in medical school starting in the fall of 2019.
Well, that sounds like big stuff, and we wish you all the best. But first of all, finish off the season strong. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mitch Nichols from Hannibal, my guest on the Bulldog Beat. When we continue, we'll take a page out of Hank's history book. You're listening to Truman Football.
No matter what you have going on today, make sure you set aside some time for this very special once-in-a-lifetime event. It's the Moberly Motors Grand Opening and 75th Anniversary Celebration happening today from 11 to 3. It's two celebrations in one to introduce the public to our brand new state-of-the-art facility and to celebrate 75 years and four generations of tradition right here in Moberly. It's fun for the whole family with free food and drinks, tons of great prizes and giveaways, toys, classic cars on display, a caricature artist, multiple radio stations live on site, tours of our all-new facility, and more. We couldn't have been in business for 75 years without you. And we built this new facility to serve you better. So what better way to celebrate both than to have a party for all of you? Come join the fun here at Moberly Motors during our grand opening and 75th anniversary celebration happening today from 11 to 3.
Let's take a page out of Hank's history book as we make another trip to the state of Michigan. It is becoming a familiar partner. This is the fourth year in a row that we play a game in the state of Michigan, five out of the last six. Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of success in games in this state, have we?
No, it's been a tough road against good teams, Brad. You know, you play, you're 6-12 overall against Michigan teams, 3-9 on the road, and it has been tough. And certainly I'll credit that league and those teams up there. They're pretty darn good. Last year for Red Wade beat Hillsdale at home. Last year for, that was 1966, Russ Sloan's last year in 1977 beat Wayne State at home. One of the only victories on the road, Randy Lucart, the former South Shelby coach, took him to state title and came to Northeast Missouri State, won at Wayne State in 1972, 44-0, and then beat Grand Valley at Grand Valley, Jack Ball coaching in 1988 in one of the classics. So the road has been unkind to the Bulldogs in the state of Michigan.
36-35, that 88 game at Grand Valley. Were you there? Do you remember that one?
One of the all-timers, absolutely. I was there. I told you before, Brad, we wouldn't even know the place going there today compared to 88. It was wide open spaces. It was the same stadium, but it was just not all added onto, and it was kind of out there by itself compared to now when we've been up there in recent years just jammed in there, 25 or 6,000 students. That was a classic. Dogs won in the last 3 or 4 minutes. Jeff Frost, the quarterback, of course, all-conference and a good one, a three-year starter, was a sophomore. Threw a couple of TD passes that day, two of them to Gary Asaya, a big kind of a hybrid before there was a hybrid, tight end receiver type, a Samoan, had two touchdown catches. James McCoy, a good running back, had a 60-yard run. Frost threw for 265. At the end of the game, the weather threatened the whole day, Brad. It sprinkled off and on. Dogs score on a 45-yard pass to a freshman from Frost, to Nate Trulson, a 6'5 freshman from Washington, Iowa, with 3.5 minutes left. And I swear, as soon as the Dogs lined up for the kickoff, it just poured. I mean, it came down, it hailed for a few minutes, it was rolling. Bob Carlson laughed so hard about how it worked out that just in time for the Dogs to score, and then it poured, and Grand Valley could not muster up anything in that bad weather at the end. Down 28-7 in the first half, down 28-14 at half. Frost brought him back, and after that touchdown to Trulson, hit Gary Asaya with a two-point conversion to take that 36-35 lead that turned out to be the winner, and then it poured on us all the way back. We pulled in at Chicago. It was raining so hard and spent the night there, but one of the classics against a good opponent that was really, we know where they've gone in the last 20 years, Grand Valley. They've been right in the mix in a lot of stuff in the last 25 or 30 years, but it was a heck of a win, and I know that those guys were tickled, and as I say, Bob Carlson laughed for years about that, about how hard it started pouring as soon as the Dogs scored.
Well, it's our first visit to Saginaw Valley State. Hopefully Greg Nesbitt will notch his first win on the road in against a team in Michigan here today. Let's take a look at this date in history. 1984, just to remember the good series the Bulldogs had with Eastern Illinois, now a step up in competition, but Eastern Illinois had a good series with the Dogs. Lost on this date in 84, 33-7. We were just thumbing through the alumni base. It's amazing how many famous folks and athletes and coaches have come out of Eastern Illinois.
You know, Brad, south of Chicago, Charleston, south of Champaign, not very far, clearly recruiting base up there. They had some great teams. They were the 78 national champs. They beat the Dogs that year in Charleston, 29-12. That was Ron Taylor's last year. Pete Grathwall, Daryl Buffington, Leonard Fagan, Greg Nesbitt was on that team as a junior, and national champs. And I'm not sure what year they transitioned up to 1AA, but you referenced that date in 84. Sean Payton, the current head coach of the New Orleans Saints, was a three-year starter quarterback for them, and beat the Dogs in 84. Excuse me, he probably was a freshman then, probably not playing. Dogs beat him in 85 here, and then he beat the Dogs in 86 and 87, both places. So, yes, and the list of people, a bunch of them. You had several others picked out that were Eastern Illinois grads.
Yeah, Tony Romo, currently Jimmy Garoppolo, Mike Shanahan, former head coach. Let's talk about the series the Bulldogs had with Harding, Arkansas, as Harding last year won our region and made the national semifinals on this date, 1973. Truman lost at Harding 31-7. They were hard on the Bulldogs in the 70s, weren't they?
Yeah, that was Randy Lucard's team, Dennis Baldwin, Craig Osadnik, a hard-nosed linebacker, and a good one. And they played them 4 years in a row, home and away, and didn't have much luck. Got beat in that game 31-20 at home. Got beat at Harding the next year 31-7. Got beat at home in the season opener. Randy Lucard's last year 74-21-16. And then Ron Taylor, who turned things around for the Bulldogs there in the mid-70s, got beat his first game. Got beat 28-14 down there. Searcy, Arkansas, kind of in the central part of the state, 100, 150 miles up north and east from Little Rock. But they were good. They played good football, had good athletics down in the hills. And it was a tough series for the Dogs. Lost all four of those games.
Well, today, Hank, let's just get your final thoughts here. If you're going to beat a solid GLIAC team on the road, you got to play a cleaner brand of football than the Bulldogs have played the first 2 weeks, don't you?
No doubt, Brad, and that probably goes for anything, but that's a tough league. Saginaw's been kind of in the middle of the pack towards the top side of it in recent years. Michigan Tech, who we've seen, kind of was the same thing, middle towards the bottom maybe. Absolutely. Solid, tough teams, tough conference, tough schedules they play. You certainly can't turn the ball over. You got to take care of it. And you know, that's the equation anytime, I think, for a Bulldog team. There's not much margin for error, not a lot of wiggle room to have problems. You got to avoid penalties and certainly turnovers, and you got to play a solid football game and capitalize when you can. And that's probably the formula for anybody, Brad. But on the road against good competition, that's absolutely what you got to do to have a chance to win.
That's a page out of Hank's history book. When we continue, the head coaches still to come, Jim Collins, Saginaw Valley State, and Truman coach Greg Nesbitt. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Now that Jacob has finished high school, we're exploring our options, but we just haven't found the right fit yet.
Well, Hannah just finished her first year at Moberly Area Community College and loves it. Jake could knock out his general education classes or enroll in a career technical program at less than half the cost.
Oh, well, they do have a Columbia location on the business loop, and the Moberly campus is only a half hour away.
He could go to MACC for 2 years, then transfer to a four-year college, or get a work-ready certificate and go straight into a career.
Either way, MACC sounds like a smart start.
Down the field with offensive coordinator Jason Kilday. Give us an evaluation after 2 weeks. What do you need to clean up?
Well, a lot of stuff to clean up, but that's always going to be the case. Right now, we just got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. You know, last week, 35 minutes of possession, 23 first downs, I believe. You know, and only coming away with 7 points offensively is a letdown. So, continue to do that, we're going to win a lot of football games if we can finish in the end zone, put points on the board.
Yeah, time of possession, first downs, third down conversions, a lot of positives last week. Do you try to build on those?
Always trying to build on it, and then, you know, you don't want to lose that and then find a way to get points on the board too. You know, you still want to continue to build on what we're doing well and then finish every drive in the end zone. That's our goal right now.
Tell me about the Cardinal defense you're going to face today.
Athletic, extremely athletic. They play hard. Front four is a good solid four. The linebackers are solid. And the secondaries are, there's some guys that can run around a little bit. So it'll be a nice test for us. But as always, it's not about what they do. It's about what we do and controlling what we control. So we'll come out, we'll put our fight up, and we'll get ready to roll like we always do.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Jason Kilday, offensive coordinator for the Bulldogs. Greg Nesbitt in his ninth year at Truman. His overall record, 43 wins, 46 losses, 33 total years of coaching. He is 11-10 in non-conference games and looking for his first victory against a GLIAC opponent. 0-6, 3 losses to Grand Valley State, 2 to Michigan Tech, and 1 to Wayne State. Saginaw Valley State coach Jim Collins in his 11th season has a record at this school of 59-53. Overall record in 25 years of coaching, 129-130. He has led the Cardinals to a share of the GLIAC North Division Championship 2011-2012 and to three NCAA tournament appearances in 2009, 2011, and 2013. We will hear from the head coaches in today's game when the Truman Tailgate continues right after this. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Jen.
I got Phil on the line, and he needs the entire Millbrook account emailed to him. Stat.
Sure.
Well, get on it. He needs...
He already has it.
If he already had the files, he wouldn't be on the phone telling me...
Thanks. Tell Jen I owe her.
Wait, what? You have it?
Yep. Gotta run.
I'm not even going to ask how you did that.
With speed so fast, you'll think your employees are using telepathy. Help your business take a step forward with Sheraton Valley's advanced solutions. Get a free quote for your business at cvalley.net. Sheraton Valley. We mean business.
Joining me on the Truman Tailgate, the head football coach at Saginaw Valley State, Jim Collins, off to a 2-0 start. Give me a read on your team through the first couple weeks.
Well, you know, I think we've played well, especially on defense. You know, I think the effort has been there. We've played with great enthusiasm and intensity. But it's early, you know, so the goal and the challenge is to maintain that level of intensity and energy. But I'm really happy with the way that we haven't executed as good as you like. But at the same time, you know, we've played hard and we've made a lot of plays that have enabled us to start out 2-0.
This transfer on the defensive side, David Still, I guess you experimented at receiver and figured out D end is where he's a menace, huh?
Well, he's such a good athlete. Our concern early in his career is because he was a guy that played both offense and defense in high school was whether or not we thought he could get big enough to play defensive end, and he has. He's got great length. He's explosive, and he's a playmaker. Last year, he made a lot of plays in the kicking game. That's what led us to believe he could really help us on the defensive side, and he's proven it. And he's had a great start to the season.
On the offensive side, your receiver, Galliard, very impressive that he could have the success he had as a freshman in that conference. Did he surprise you at all?
You know, in a lot of ways he did. We had a really good receiver, Jeff Janis, that graduated about 5 years ago and spent 4 years in the NFL. And as a redshirt freshman, Jeff didn't put up the type of numbers that Chad put up last year. He surprised us more than anything with his ability to make great runs after the catch. You know, he averaged about 20 yards a catch and very explosive. I think surprised a lot of people last year. No surprise now. You know, I think everyone keys on him. They know what number he is. And, you know, most defensive coaches, I'm sure, are game planning for him. And he's gotten off to a great start, even though, you know, I'm sure people know who he is now. So it's great to see him rise to the challenge of being now a respected player and still being able to make plays.
Tell me about your quarterback, Ryan Conklin. What are his strengths as a signal caller?
You know, more than anything, he's got total command of the offense right now. He's a student of the game. This is his third year as being our starter. So he's very comfortable with things and the people around him, and he's a great leader. And I think what that does is it helps the other 10 guys, I think, feel very accountable to him. And then the other part of Ryan's game is he's got a strong arm, he's accurate, and he's proven it. He's gotten off to a great start here in these first two games.
I know Coach Nesbitt feels like your club is the most balanced offensively that we've faced this season. Is that kind of where you want to be offensively?
Absolutely. That's what we really strive for. We strive for balance, not just the balance from the rushing yards to the passing yards, but who we're getting the ball to. We've had three different running backs gain significant yards for us. Even though Galliard's been our leading receiver, we've spread it around, and there's a lot of other guys that have made plays in the passing game. And our offensive line is doing a decent job of both run blocking and protecting the quarterback. But at the same time, what we see out of a Truman State team is a team that's done, a marvelous job of stopping the run. And, the front seven, including those two safeties, have made a lot of big plays for him.
Coach Jim Collins, my guest from Saginaw Valley State here on the Truman tailgate. Well, you gave us an assessment of the Bulldog defense. What about the Dogs offense and what you've seen on film?
Well, Jaden Barr is a great player, you know, and there's no secret to what the plan is offensively. It's to get him the football and let him make plays. And, you know, I've been very impressed with him as a passer and a runner. I'm sure that his completion percentage is not where everybody wants it to be, but, you know, he's taking a lot of shots down the field, and those passes aren't always easy to complete, but he's a very capable passer. But athletically, there's no question he's going to be the best QB athlete we've seen up to this point, and maybe, you know, one of the best we'll see all year.
I would suppose when you see somebody take it 90 yards for a touchdown, special teams and the return game is something that you'll look at this week in practice.
Well, there's no question. There's no question. And that's one of the things that, you know, there's a couple times there's been some drop punts back there, but drop kicks. But at the same time, wow. I mean, there's that threat. We've got to be extremely good handling our kickoff coverage, and more than anything, it's week in and week out. You've got to be sound. Your guys have to run down the field. Then you got to tackle. And to see a big return in those first two games definitely gets your special teams coordinator get his ears up. And you know, we've had some good meetings this week as far as the kicking game goes, and we've shown that highlight a few times.
Finally, Coach, you've had some playoff teams there at Saginaw Valley State last year, 5-6. So, just kind of, what's the ceiling for this year's team?
You know, I think we've got a good football team. I think it's a team that that obviously can week in and week out compete to win. You know, we play in a tough league, but we have a lot of confidence right now in the fact that, week in and week out, we're going to compete and we're going to challenge and, we're going to put ourselves in a position to win as long as we do the things that it takes. You know, you got to protect the football. We've done that. You've got to do a great job as far as explosive plays. And then the kicking game is so critical. But I think we've got a good football team. But I told our guys last week, you know, we're not a 2-0 football team right now. We're a team looking to get a win this week, and that's the only thing that matters is what happens this week. So we got to take them one at a time. I know that's coach speak, but you really have to. And our guys have embraced that and have shown up every day and worked really hard.
Looking forward to experiencing a game day at your place, and best wishes this season.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on.
You got it. That is Coach Jim Collins from Saginaw Valley State. When we continue, a visit with Truman head coach Greg Nesbitt. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
What makes a top hip and knee replacement hospital? Low complication rates, high patient satisfaction scores, and low prices. Congratulations to the joint replacement physicians at Columbia Orthopedic Group for making Boone Hospital one of the top hip and knee surgery hospitals in America. The physicians of Columbia Orthopedic Group are national leaders right here in mid-Missouri. We're online at columbiaorthogroup.com and call for your appointment today at 573-443-2402.
Joining me on the Truman Tailgate now, head football coach Greg Nesbitt. We'll lead off with your evaluation of week two. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, it's been a long time, Brad, since we've had that big a disparity in a run game where we ran for 154, and I think Morningside ran for 50. Generally, that's a pretty good recipe for success in winning a game. And unfortunately, when you turn it over five times in a game and only get one of them, you're not going to win many on that way. So the turnover bug really offset and really didn't give us a great chance to win. And we're very disappointed. You got to work through some early season discouragement through Sunday and bounce guys back. Obviously, the reality is we've got a long football season in front of us. We've played two good football teams. In fact, another one with Saginaw this week. They're combined 6-0. We did improve this last week, and hopefully we can continue that and come away with a win this week on the road.
The other part to the turnover equation is where and how they are occurring. They are both giving the opponent quick points and also taking away red zone opportunities for your club. So that is doubly costly, isn't it?
It really is. You know, and Lawrence Woods, you and I are talking off the air, a wonderful young player, an exciting player, has been electrifying. I think he's got 5 kick returns in his career and 2 of them for touchdowns, and a couple punt returns here early that already had turned one of those into 20, but dropped 2 of them, and once inside the 15 and the other inside the 20. And disappointing for our defense, as well as they played, that oftentimes we're able to bow our neck in that sudden change in that goal line area and force a field goal. We were unable to do that. And then, as you noted, Jaden, who's played good football for us now for 2 years and hopefully a good 2 to go here as we get going, has had a couple unforced errors, you know, just not a very good decision and not a very good ball. And he'd be the first one to tell you that on the second and 10, I think, or second and goal from the 9-10 that we threw up for Ellis down there. And those are game altering, you know, when you're taking obviously points off the board through field goal or a touchdown yet to come. And those really do come back to haunt you.
Let me throw a couple positives at you. You converted your first 6 third downs and were 11 of 19. So that is a marked improvement, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, you talk about Jaden, who's as good a kid and he's a good football player. He's as good a kid as you can be. And a ultra competitor. You know, those same third downs, you know, we got to improve. He does, and he knows that in the red zone goal area. But he was absolutely fabulous and spot on third downs, because that's all attributed to him. I mean, there's all 11 working, but he really understood the plan, understood the coverage, spit the ball out quickly, accurately. Offense really executed well, and they also, you know, they controlled the clock at 35 minutes to 25 for Morningside, and you know, attributed to third down and being able to run the football. And that is generally a pretty good recipe for success. Obviously, you can't turn the ball over and have kicking game mistakes.
Yeah, time of possession was the other thing I noted as well. One thing we've seen in the first 2 weeks is a whole bunch of new numbers and faces in your receiving core. It almost seems, Coach, this is open competition for somebody to grab some playing time.
It absolutely is. It's kind of like some young arms in the Cardinal baseball organization. Mm-hmm. You know, it's by committee right now as we're putting it together and really searching for some guys to step up. And it's also very exciting. You know, Spencer Newell from Joplin, Missouri. Coach Jasper, a well-known name in mid-Missouri from formerly West Ryan. He catches the ball. You got Colby Roundtree, who's been in our program for 2 or 3 years from up in the Chicagoland. Monty Sharp, an Edwardsville kid. So you're throwing around a few different names, along with a good freshman in Ricky McLaughlin. So hopefully we'll continue to do that and get a veteran or two. Mitch Nichols from Hannibal had a couple really nice grabs. You know, they weren't flashy, but he had to go up and grab one on a spot throw on about an 8 or 9 yard game early in the contest that ended up leading to a conversion. So a lot of different guys, and that's kind of exciting.
Talking with Bulldog Coach Greg Nesbitt here on the Truman Tailgate. Let's focus now on the opponent today, and that's Saginaw Valley, a new opponent from the GLIAC. What's your scouting report? Tell us.
Well, unfortunately, they're pretty good. They're 2-0, haven't really been tested. I think they're averaging in the mid-40s, giving up 5 or 6 points a game, about 450 yards a game, and that they're putting up offensively and giving up a couple hundred yards a game. So they're pretty balanced. You know, they're a good balanced run-throw offense, probably the best mix that we've seen between Michigan Tech, who was pretty rugged up inside and running the football. Last week, Morningside's quarterback will be hard-pressed to see one better, and a prolific receiver. And this will be the best kind of best of both worlds. They can run and throw, so we've got our work cut out for us there. And defensively, a typical GLIAC squad, and you know, for our fans, they played Michigan Tech, same league. I think it was a 4-point game a year ago. I'm not certain. I think Tech actually won that game. So we feel like certainly talent-wise, we're certainly going to have a chance. And in the same breath, they're just like our first two teams, they're pretty good. So we've got our work cut out for us.
They got a returner, a quarterback, and Ryan Conklin. What have you seen from him on film?
He's off to a really hot start. I think about a 69% completion guy. He'd rather throw it than run it. Does have good pocket presence, big, strong kid that doesn't get rattled easily, and a good receiver. I can't think of his name right now, Brad. I think it's jersey number 17 or 18.
The Galliard kid, freshman of the year.
Yeah, a good player out there. I think about 1,000 yards receiving last year as a rookie, so he'll be a handful.
What about defensively, Coach, on that side of the ball? What do they like to do?
They're just solid across the board. Their headliner in their first two games, they had a converted wide receiver, jersey number 8. You'll have to look his name up for me, but they've moved him to defensive end, and he really jumped out and grabbed you on kick and punt coverage. And aggressive kid. I think he's got, you know, 2 or 3 sacks in the first couple games and 4 or 5 tackles for loss. He's kind of headlined their front four group. 33, a linebacker. He's a good, tough, all-league type GLIAC kid. And they got a safety, I think it's jersey 2. That's an all-league potential. Good corners. They're just solid across the board.
Talking about David Still. Well, a long trip, your first road trip of the season for the veterans. You've made enough of these long journeys now. Do you feel like you can lean upon that in handling a long trip to Saginaw?
Yeah, that, you know, the trip, if we don't, it will have no bearing on whether we play well or don't. We're used to that portion of it. In some regards, it's nice just to get your travel squad NCAA and legal, and it allows us to travel 60 players. So it's the kids that are really contributing and in the fight right now, so to speak. So some ways that's a little different. Not all bad either. As you get out on the road, all our kids are good, but the guys that are actually out there playing a little more are the ones that are obviously on the bus.
It's Bulldog Coach Greg Nesbitt. We'll have the kickoff coming up in just moments. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Now more than ever, businesses are looking for employees who know how to collect, analyze, and interpret large amounts of data. They're often asking existing employees to acquire those skills to advance in their careers. Truman State University's Graduate Certificate in Data Science is a fully online accredited program that can help put you in the driver's seat when it comes to data analysis. Visit initiative.truman.edu/data for more information or call 660-785-5384.
Back to Saginaw Valley, and it's 76 degrees with a high of 80 this afternoon. Light wind out of the north, so blowing across the field from Lake Huron, I believe we are closest to, as we are a tour of the Great Lakes. Lake Huron's that way. Lake Michigan's behind us. Lake Superior's way up there. But it is going to be warmer down on the field. This is a bowl area stadium, so, and it's a turf, so it retains the heat well. So it was hot down there earlier, so I could see the humidity climbing up to 76, 80% down there. So it's going to be a hot day for both teams on this field.
About the only geography I can help with as we crossed a river, so I guessed it was the Saginaw River, and I was right. So, yeah, we are in Saginaw, Michigan. You're listening to Crest KRES Moberly and CentralMoInfo.com.
If you look at your palm, you want to know where
we're in a glove, right?
In a glove.
We got the glove.
Where that thumb is probably the
kind of up
insert.
In that.
That's where Lake Huron is.
Okay, everybody look at your hand. That's Michigan. Okay.
We are
we're left of the thumb,
Of
up in the crease a little
on
bit.
On the crease is where we're at.
Okay.
We're north of Ann Arbor. We are east of Grand Rapids, where we've been in the past, and we are still well south of Michigan Tech, where we were last year in the Mackinac Bridge.
We are 185 miles from the Mackinac Bridge, so there's your Michigan trip around the world.
The Bulldogs won the toss. They deferred to the second half, so Saginaw Valley and their offense will get the start here this afternoon. It's
got a little bit of a breeze.
A little bit.
That'll help the crowd.
It's helping us.
Stands.
Yep. Helping
warm
us up
day,
here in the,
but in November it'd be quite the opposite.
Yes,
here.
This will be a cold November wind coming off the lake.
We stayed with the team last night in Midland, which is about 10 miles, 15 miles down the road, and that's where another GLIAC school is located, Northwood. So they got neighboring schools. Surely must be a decent rivalry there, and we toured their campus.
And they've got a big rivalry game up there is number four, number six, depending on what pool you looked at. Ferris State is up at Northwoods for their game. Kind of a small crowd here this afternoon. They got band day, which all the bands are behind the Bulldog bench on the far side, but as much activity as we saw around this stadium for pregame, there is not much here unless they fill in later on. Dogs will go from left to right on your dial, teeing it up, Brock Roller, and to bring you the Saginaw Valley Truman game, the voice of the Bulldogs, Brad Boyer.
Thank you, Kevin. Bulldogs wearing their purple pants, white tops, purple numerals, purple helmets. The Cardinals in their cardinal red tops, white pants, red helmets. Michael King and Casey Williams back at the goal line to receive. And Roller lifts it high into the air, and that's going to go deep into the end zone. Got that wind at his back, and he put it at the back of where the SBSU is painted in the red end zone. And for Brock Roller, that is his second touchback of the season. Ryan Conklin, third-year starter at quarterback, 6'2", 210 out of Jackson, Michigan. Dejon James will get the start at running back. He's a senior, but we will see Jeremiah Johnson, probably Nate McCreary in the backfield as well. Top receiver, Chad Galliard, the returning freshman of the year in the GLIAC. Marcus Edmondson and Dominic Faselli also start at the receiver. The tight end, 6'4", 242, Will Farr.
Lawrence Wood on Conklin, or on Galliard up top.
And from the pistol, quick toss out to the near side at the 30. DeAnthony Knight able to secure the tackle long enough for Edwards to get over, and Sam Reeves, that's Marcus Edmondson on the catch, out of Ypsilanti, Michigan, a Twin City with Ann Arbor, where Eastern Michigan is located. Third catch of the season for Edmondson. Up front, it's a big offensive line, and that'll be something to watch on a warm afternoon, whether they get things rolling and they can lean on the Dogs or not. At first down, pick up 6 yards. Conklin will hand it off, and the Bulldog run defense is superb on the opening play and has been stout this season. Ryan Edwards and Eric Yackel led the stop. The Bulldogs through 2 weeks, Kevin, lead the GLVC in rush defense.
Just 50 yards allowed last week, 98 for the season. So the rush defense has been there. It's the pass defense that's given the Dogs trouble, and a big third down to start the game.
So after six on the pass play, no gain on the running play. Bulldogs lined up in their four front. Conklin from the pistol, looking near side, now over the middle, incomplete. Good coverage there by Siegel as he had the crossing route. Faselli, the intended receiver, and that pass was a bullet that missed the target, incomplete, and the Dogs' defense sends the Cardinals three and out.
They had everyone bunched up toward the line of scrimmage. They did not split anyone wide. The Dogs came with their press coverage, and it worked to a T as they'll force Grand Valley, or Saginaw Valley, to punt. And a new punt returner back for the Bulldogs here in the first.
That's the young man from Joplin, Spencer Newell, that will return. The punter is Jacob Matus. He's a redshirt freshman, rugby style. And Newell will have a chance on a line drive, over-the-shoulder grab of the 26, back to the 30, angling near side, got a little block to the 35, and that block is illegal.
Yep.
On the peel back, they're going to call Satula, I believe, with a block in the back. So a good return is going to be erased by the penalty.
Wasn't much of a block in the back, but everyone was watching for it, and it was just enough of a little push to draw three flags, and it'll cut off the return at about the 38-yard line of the Bulldogs, and it'll drop it 10 yards back from there.
All righty. Well, while the Bulldog offense waits for the penalty to be marked off, let's go down to the field for the first time. And Hank Jansen is enjoying the sunshine today. Henry?
Going to be a hot one, fellas. Heavy fog and cloudy this morning, about 60, but it's going to be a hot one. You know, this has been a pop football team the last bunch of years. Had trouble offensively last year, so they switched to what we've seen out of the pistol, spread it out. Florida this year in the first two games, they've had success. Nice job by the Dogs on the first series to shut them down.
Would agree. Jaden Barr brings out the Truman offense. Last week had 327 yards of offense. After the first week, just 209. Up front, Nick Verbeck, the center, 6'3", 315, a senior. The guards, Jacob Lewis out of Centralia, the Cress All-Star, 6'2", 282, a junior. Connor Borsinko, 6'2", 308, a senior. The tackles, Nob Chetri, 6'3", 293, a senior. And Jacob Van Doren, 6'3", 265, a sophomore. It'll be Barr from the pistol with two backs in the backfield, twin receivers to the left. Barr will give it off to Satula. He is stacked up as he tried to find some space over the top and got driven back. Jordan Salima comes in with 1,883 career yards through two seasons and two games. We need to get this junior from Independence going. Just 76 yards rushing in the first two games for the returning second team all-conference back.
That was just a run right up the middle trying to find a hole in that between the tackles, and nothing was there. Maybe no gain on the play.
Jacob Morris is the fullback, a sophomore out of Clive, Iowa. Here is the fake. Barr pulls it away. Open receiver, Brass Woods. Snatches it out of the air. The 32 leans into the defensive back, picks up an extra yard or two. Good to see Brass Woods get involved early. 6'5", 204, senior out of Melissa, Texas, who sat out the last two seasons.
He's a big target, and you need to utilize him. And that time they did early on a crossing route. He picked up about eight on the play, so it's third and two out to the 35. Actually, they said he fumbled the ball, and so they'll return it back about 3 yards.
Can't advance on the fumble, so back to the 32 there. And he's got 5'10 cornerbacks to work on. We'll also see Dante Ruffin and Mitch Nichols starting out at receiver, but we'll see others sub in. Bulldogs were good on third down last week, 11 out of 19.
Hit their first six straight.
Trips
to the near side here.
Stacked up right on the rail, right of the formation. Salima the lone back. They'll roll the pocket to the near side. Barr pulls it up, reverses field, looking downfield. Now reverses his field again, scrambling. Here comes a rusher. Down he goes. Pass flipped into the air. Fortunately, hits the turf. We don't see a flag on a grounding call, but there is the athleticism, Kevin, we saw of David Still. 6'3", 220 junior out of Glassboro, New Jersey. We mentioned he transferred in last year as a defensive end, and they thought he was so athletic they'd make him a receiver. My goodness.
And he stayed on the outside, waited for Barr to come in, and then they just kind of zigzagged back and forth until finally Barr was able to get it close enough to Dante Ruffin for the incomplete pass.
Barr
is trouble
not,
all over it.
He is not going to outrun that guy. Roller, rugby-style punt, high into the air. That's a dandy. Caught at the 19, put that one inside the 20 for Brock Roller. He had two inside the 20 last week and had a healthy 47-yard per punt average. That's his fifth punt inside the 20 this season. So good job flipping the field position.
You got to rely on your defense again. Go back out there after the three and out. Both teams exchanged three and outs on their opening possession here this afternoon.
Before or after the game, stop by Colton Steakhouse and Grill, located on Business Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville, and enjoy the tender and most juiciest steak west of the Mississippi. They are a post-game sponsor. First down and 10, Ryan Conklin will take it away from the running back on the jet action and takes it up the middle and is stopped for very little game. Brian Edwards has been in on a couple of tackles early. Travis Meyerson plays a bandit spot, helped him out. Edwards leads the team in tackles. The two-time all-conference performer was 15 coming into today. Second down and 8. Spencer Chipley is in there inside. And here's a pass to the near side. Driven to the turf is the receiver by D'Anthony Knight. The catch by Edmondson, but he got planted.
That was a good textbook tackle by D'Anthony Knight. Normally you see the cornerbacks just try to go for the big hit there, and he wrapped him up, drove him back. Gain of 5. It'll be 3rd and 3 at about the 27.5-yard line. Need to get to the 30.
Forward progress. Lawrence Woods will go cover their standout receiver, Chad Galliard. Edmondson has caught two balls on those short little hitch routes. Can't give it up now, which is 2 yards to pick up. Here comes a rush. Roll in the pocket. Pass complete out of the flat. Tackle made by Siegel on Dominic Fuseli. Didn't pick up much, but enough to the 31-yard line to move the sticks.
He knew exactly where he needed to get to the sticks, and a nice ball delivered in stride. Picks up the first down of this game.
Sam Reeves, John Sheeler at the defensive ends right now. As Sheeler in for DeVecchi. Jake Floyd, Spencer Chipley inside. In the defensive backfield, we haven't mentioned Wyatt Fischel. He is the free safety. First down and 10. Two backs of the backfield. Handoff and a little bit of a squeeze, and then a jarring hit by Siegel on the running back. Edwards had him down low. That is Dejon James. He actually started his collegiate career at Great Lakes Valley Conference School, Indianapolis. Then he transferred here. And coming into this game, two games, 101 yards rushing, averaging 6 yards a carry.
Picked up five on that play after being leveled by Siegel.
And we mentioned they got a big offensive line, 304 pounds on average. The biggest of the big boys is Jack Doyle, left guard, 6'2", 320. Second down and five, Galliard in motion. Conklin will hand it. Reverse. They go with the reverse to Galliard to the near side. That should be a holding call. It's not made, and a tackle is made by DeAnthony Knight. Now we have a late flag down the field. It's going to be a post-play penalty on one of their offensive linemen who decked Brian Edwards in the secondary.
Well, we thought there should have been a hold down here as Big 77 had a hold of Jordan Siegel. Didn't let go of him as the play was coming around him, and then late after the play was over with. So it's going to be short on the play. They're going to be third down, and then I think you're going to move them back 15 yards from that spot.
And that is their returning all-conference center, Trevor Curl, with a careless penalty, but justice served. You know, we talk about setting the edge as a defender. You don't want to give up the outside to a receiver on a play like that. And Siegel was right where he needed to be to keep him contained, but he couldn't get to the outside.
Couldn't get him. He was being grabbed, horse-collared, and taken away. So an interesting call here. Is that just needless on the center, who was so far downfield, and it's a dead ball foul.
Dead ball 15-yard penalty. Back to the play, though. The Bulldogs did do a nice job defending that reverse. So from the end of the run, you give the yardage, and then you penalize 15. So back them up to the 24, and it's going to be third down and about 17.
That's a costly penalty for Saginaw Valley. They were looking at a third and one, and now a third and 16.
Two common opponents last year with these two teams. The Bulldogs both and the Cardinals both lost to Michigan Tech and to Grand Valley State. Of course, those two teams are in Saginaw's conference. The GLIAC. Bulldogs need to keep them right here, get some field position for the offense, third down and long. Conklin straight back to throw it from the pocket, crossing route to Galliard. Can they keep him hemmed in? They do. Siegel finishes off the tackle after he's being chased across the field by Jake Hayes. That gets him back to the original line of scrimmage and just passed. And Jacob Matus will come on to punt for the red-clad Cardinals. Turf field that is
worn.
That's the one bit of all of these facilities.
We know where their money's been spent the last few years. It hasn't been on the turf down
back here.
Back here
at their indoor practice facility. Bulldogs load up along the line as Spencer Newell is on an island by himself to receive this punt. Spiraling toward Newell. Makes the grab at the 24. Jukes the first man down and then is upended at the 31-yard line.
Kind of had to make an over-the-shoulder catch there, and good job of securing the football, and we'll see what the Bulldog offense can do in their second possession. Not much going in that first. A completed pass to Brass Woods for about 4 yards. A mad scramble by Barr that he ran about 35 yards before throwing an incomplete pass. And the Dog offense needs to get on track.
Last week, Barr threw 47 passes. That was the most in a Bulldog game in 5 years. You got to go back to 2013.
Conrad Schottel against St. Joseph's threw 52 passes. It was the last time that Dogs have attempted that many.
And that's probably too many. That means you're playing catch-up. Here's a option play and pitch it back to Salima. And there's just no alley to cut up into, and so that'll be a loss. That was a true option play where you fake the fullback and the pitch was probably quicker than Barr and the offense wanted.
Loss of three on the play. So behind the chains again, the Dogs will see themselves.
A loss of three on the play brings up second down and 13.
Bulldogs up front, average 296. Twin receivers to the near side. Single receiver to the short side of the field. Salima in the backfield takes the handoff. No, it's a fake. Near side, low ball to Nichols. He does get under to cradle it. And they're calling a catch at the 34-yard line. So a gain of six. A nice job by Mitch Nichols.
Number 13, Mitch Nichols.
Delivered low, and Mitch was able to get his hands underneath the turf. Both the head linesman and the umpire kind of looked at each other just to make sure they thought they saw that he had his hands underneath. But still, it's going to be third and seven after a gain of six.
That is the fifth catch of the year for Nichols, who joined me on the pregame show. 7:28 to play, first quarter, no score. Bulldogs second possession. 7 yards to move the sticks. Barr is going to be sacked. The pocket collapsed around him back at the 26-yard line. And the sack will be credited with Heath Williams. And he has been a menace for quarterback so far on the schedule. That's his third sack, 3.5 sacks now.
That was the first time we'd seen Jaden Barr step up into the pocket. Just the pocket didn't give him enough time, and he was corralled pretty quickly there and brings on Brock Rohwer to punt again. He had a boomer the last time. It was right at the Saginaw 20-yard line.
And the Bulldogs are second in the conference in net punting. They have not given up any punt return yardage, and that'll change right here as a missed tackle at the 30 has one loose to the 40, to the 50. 40. There is a flag back behind the play as the return man, Michael King, sprints into the end zone. But there is a flag back at the 30-yard line, which should temper the excitement of these fans. I think it's coming back.
Yes, right at the 30-yard line is where that flag is. And it should be a block in the back on Saginaw Valley.
Yeah, the Boo Birds will come out.
It is a block in the back.
There's a block in the back. So bring it back, Hank Jansen. Defenses are winning the first quarter so far.
Absolutely good job by the Dogs flying to it. Clearly can't generate much offense. Greg Nesbitt talked about how dangerous little receiver kick returner is. You saw it there, but clearly one of the key blocks was the illegal block that sprung him, gave him to the wide side of the field. The first kick was a boomer and high and had to fair catch it. This one low, got the bounce, the juicy bounce right to him and gave him some juice. But defense has played well thus far. Got to keep working it, keep those receivers underneath, make the hit, be sure tacklers, keep this thing contained.
Century 21 Whitney Agency of Kirksville gets it sold. Like them on Facebook or visit c21kirksville.com, the only website you need for Northeast Missouri real estate. What you got, Hank?
You know, Brad, we've talked so many times about how enjoyable, how much fun it is in these non-conference games. Go check other places out. Campuses, schools, stadiums, student body, conferences, the whole deal. This is a good place. We've talked about it. Good field here, built in the 70s. New, the baseball, softball, soccer right next door have been built in the last 10 years. Nicely done over there. That new building over there, that 17 million indoor turf with a nice track, indoor track, 9,000 students. Saginaw City is 60,000. Midland just up the road about 10 or 15 miles, 40,000. So 100,000 in this metro area, 65 of these guys from the state of Michigan on this Saginaw team. Only two starters on each side of the ball are seniors and less than 10 seniors on this team, so probably point to next year. But a good place, good campus, hospitality's been good, very enjoyable.
All right, good update from down on the sideline. In fact, if you go further, there's only 9 players on the entire roster, not from Michigan or Ohio. Conklin passing on first down, looking deep. Post route for Galliard. Great coverage by DeAnthony Knight. Step for step, he had a better chance at the football.
Step for step, and he was with him on his back shoulder, making sure that he couldn't break free, but he did it in the right way, so it was no pass interference. Saginaw Valley went for the home run shot there on first down.
And you know, Kevin, I think for DeAnthony Knight and for Lawrence Woods, it's probably taken them a couple games to settle in this spot defensive back.
Get back to your game speed. You know, there's some of them. I think maybe Lawrence was in the spring practice, but I don't know if DeAnthony was. And so they're getting their fresh snaps in.
Neither played last year. Second down and 10. Motion man Fuseli sets to the near side. That's where Conklin looks. Oh. DeAnthony Knight jumped the route, nearly had a pick. And the pass ends up finding Edmondson for a completion at the 31. That had pick six written on it.
That was right there as DeAnthony read it perfectly, but the ball was just outthrown a little bit. And Good job by Brian Edwards to get over there to make the tackle. Otherwise, that might have gone big the other direction.
So first down for the Cardinals instead. Conklin last year threw for 2,329 yards, 16 TDs, 6 picks, 56% completion rate. He'll hand it off up the middle, and the running back smashed hard to this turf field for a gain of 2. I think that might have been Chipley in the middle of the defense. He's going to check out. Jake Floyd will come in and join Michael Neisler inside. Yackel and Edwards are the inside backers. Zach Nadel is now in at the free safety spot. Freshman out of Plainfield, Illinois. And J.D. Hurd steps in at a cornerback spot for Lawrence Woods, and he will be shadowing Edmondson on the far side. Twin receivers to the right side, two tight end formation. Conklin will roll, got some space to throw it downfield, and it is dropped. Wow. Wide open, Casey Williams at the Truman 45, and he could not hang on.
Hurd took off with the outside receiver, and that let the underneath guy roam free, and he had not only no one in front of him, but he had the student section at the other end in front of him. He would have corralled it in for a touchdown, but instead it's going to be a 3rd and 9.
5 minutes to play first quarter. There's seating on both sides. We're on the home side where the most seating is, obviously, but there is end zone seating, as Kevin mentioned, to our left. That's where Saginaw is driving toward that goal line. 3rd down and 8. Conklin straight back to throw it. Wobbly ball as his arm was hit, and it falls to the turf, incomplete. Fans are screaming for some kind of, I guess, interference call, but I think when the ball got hit or the arm got hit, changes everything.
That was A.J. DeVecchi that got a piece of that quarterback coming through that caused that wobbly pass, and Saginaw will, after a pick up a first down, will punt the ball away.
DeVecchi had a pass breakup last week. May give him one there. Again, everybody loaded up along the line for the Bulldogs for this punt. A high snap, and it's over the punter's head. Bounces at the 10, scooped up at the 6, and a pretty good job by the punter just to whirl and get it anywhere the other direction, and it will be downed at the Saginaw 34-yard line. So that will go as a net 1 or maybe 2 yard punt.
Well, we've been plagued with those bad snaps on our side of the ball, and at Saginaw Valley had one there, and he did a heck of a job at least getting that ball off to gain at least 30 yards from where, because he punted it at about the 2 yard line, and they got it up to the 34 yard line. That's where the Dogs will take over 1st and 10. So the best field position and the first big mistake of the game goes to Saginaw Valley.
So the Bulldog offense needs to take advantage of this field position. Salima and Morris in the backfield. High snap. Barr pulls it down. Good job keeping his composure and finds Woods, who adds yards after the catch to the 22. And it is the first down for the Dogs.
Tackled by number 31, Joe Newman. First down, Truman State.
I think Mr. Barr is a little frazzled by these snaps.
It doesn't help. That one was the worst today. The others have been okay. But he kept his composure and got his second completion of the first quarter to Woods. Now we'll hand it off. No, pulls it away from Salima. Drop it off to Morris. He's going to crash over the top of a defender. The ball pops free, but it was obviously the turf that jarred the ball free. And so they appropriately blow the play dead despite the moanings of the crowd, and it'll be a gain of 4 yards on the screen pass play.
What's the old adage, ball can't cause a fumble? Ground can't cause a fumble?
And those are always the most obvious, Kevin, when you're landing, you're in the air and you land on the ground, and then the ball comes free.
Good pickup. I don't think we've seen that play since the first play of the season, that little fullback in the flat area.
Salima to the left of Barr. Fake it to him. Again, this time it's the tight end on that fake. And it'll be C.J. Brown with positive yardage near the marker, 14-yard line, driven out for C.J.'s 3rd catch of the year. The returning, honorable mention, all GLVC tight end.
About 6 inches short of a first down, so the Dogs 3rd and 1. from just inside the 14, 15-yard line.
Same play, only it was a tight end instead of the fullback. Fakes it and then rolls with the receiver. Morris and Salima in the backfield. Barr will give it to Salima. Pads are low, but the hole is not there, and he's stuffed right at the line of scrimmage. Disappointing for the Bulldogs. Yeah. Could not move Saginaw Valley State front, and they're going to have to try a field goal.
And this is the, those are the areas that the offense has just not been able to put points six on the scoreboard, as they'll try a field goal. This will be from 32 yards from the left hash mark.
Jaden Barr, the quarterback, is the holder. John Scheiderer, true freshman out of Springfield, Kickapoo High School. His first field goal attempt on the road, and it is good. Right through the uprights, kind of a wobbler, but effective, as he is now 3 for 3. That his longest field goal of the season, 32 yards. Truman on the board first, 2:24 to play first quarter. Back for the kickoff in 30 seconds.
When your vehicle has mechanical problems, call Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive in Kirksville at 660-665-8464. Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Auto's ASC certified mechanics use computer diagnostics to repair your car or truck. From major engine to transmission repairs, they'll fix it right the first time. And when you're ready to upgrade your new vehicle, go to Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive, located on West Potter in Kirksville, and select from their lot of quality pre-owned cars and trucks.
Take advantage of the bad snap on the Saginaw punt. Short field starting at the Cardinal 34-yard line. And Scheiderer stays perfect on the season with a 32-yard field goal. Five plays, 19 yards, 3-0.
So a little life on that drive. Two of those passes out of the flat. Just couldn't get anything running up the middle.
Two teams have combined for only three first downs in the first quarter so far. Galliard has so far not been one of the deep men in the return game. Michael King and Casey Williams are back to receive. Roller hits the football. He had a touchback on his first kick, and he'll add a touchback right here. So, taking advantage of whatever breeze there is down on the field.
During today's game,
and Brock Roller able to go 2 for 2 on touchbacks. Let's go back to the facility Hank mentioned earlier. We've kind of referenced, but it's back behind us. They have an indoor practice facility that I tweeted out, Brad Boyer Kress, if you want to look at it.
It's got a
$17 million price tag.
Got an indoor track. They easily could host the Division II National Indoor Championship. They said it was the same group that designed and built the Pittsburgh State facility that hosted the indoor facility. That is actually attached to their basketball arena, and it is a sweet little setup back there. They were proudly showing recruits, hey, this is what you're going to get the practice on.
Here's a turn and a give. Looks like a new running back in there who breaks through. That's Nate McCrary. Has his legs cut down from under him by Lawrence Woods in Truman territory, 42-yard line. So an effective first carry for Nate McCrary.
There's a flag on the play.
Well, forget it. The flags are killing Saginaw Valley State here in the first quarter. And Jim Collins going to run down the sideline to see what this is about. Back to the indoor facility. It is one of three, we're told, in all of Division II football indoor practice facility.
I think with a track involved. With, we know Missouri Western has one. They Northwest.
Have, yeah, the Chiefs, obviously.
Right.
I guess they technically say that may be theirs.
We know some of the MIAA schools there are building, but a holding call on Saginaw Valley is going to negate, 25 to the Bulldogs 42.
33-yard run, I believe, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they don't count Missouri Western. That's obviously an indoor facility, although prompted by the Chiefs' arrival for training camp. Grand Valley State, where we've been for football, in Allendale, Michigan, and Pittsburgh State.
I guess you could say UIndy kind of has something over there with the bubble.
I don't know what
stuff,
you would call that.
I think with the track involved.
And the turf field,
yes.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, so first down play again. McCrary trying to bounce to the outside. And slips a tackle by Knight, but there's Nadel to finish up and ride McCrary out of bounds after a gain of four.
They dodged a bullet on that first down play. That time the Bulldogs did a good job of stringing them out. It was the same play, only to the far side of the field, and the Dogs ran them out of real estate after a gain of 8 yards.
Nate McCrary is a sophomore out of Muskegon, Michigan, 6'1", 218. He led the team in rushing touchdowns with seven last year, and he leads the team in rushing touchdowns through two games with three. He is the second of three backs we'll likely see today. Second and 12. Quick pass, far side, caught by Edmondson. Knight grabs him by the jersey and flings him out of bounds. That's the third time that Edmondson has caught a short hitch route in front of Knight. And this time he picks up seven. It's going to be third down and 4 yards to go.
That's giving him what the defense gives him. Knight had backed off that press coverage. And so you had a seven-yard window, and you just pitched and catched it out there. And luckily for Knight, he did a good job of making contact and wrapping up as soon as the catch was made.
They put three receivers to the short side of the field. The football's on the right hash mark. Galliard, their leader and receiver, will go in motion right to left. He'll be isolated with Woods near side. That's where Conklin is looking. He is now pressured, breaks out of the grasp, and he's going to get a first down and more. Across 40, across midfield, 45, driven out of bounds. Dogs had a chance at a sack, come up empty. And Conklin with the scramble into Truman territory.
Just a good enough scramble and actually hurdled a Bulldog defender. He was trying to get away from a shoestring tackle, and a positive yardage pickup by the quarterback on third down moves the ball into Truman territory officially for the first time here this afternoon.
Robert
reached the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, Robert Greco was in, a freshman out of Hazelwood Central in Flores in St. Louis. He may have been the one that had a shot at him. And that will bring us, as Kevin mentioned, to the end of the first. Truman on top of Saginaw Valley State, 3-0. We'll return for the second quarter in 1 minute on Superstation Crest, CentralMoInfo.com.
Where do steak lovers go for aged USDA choice, hand-cut, melt-in-your-mouth tender steaks? Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville, of course. Colton Steakhouse and Grill isn't just a steakhouse. With their fresh seafood, tender chicken, fall-off-the-bone ribs, juicy burgers, homemade yeast rolls, and crisp salads, they have something for everyone. They're known for the best steaks west of the Mississippi, so come on in and see for yourself at Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville. They know what's at stake.
70% of homebuyers settle for the first real estate agent they meet. Century 21 Whitney Agency's professional realtors are relentless. We go above and beyond to defy mediocrity. We know that average doesn't sell. Like us on Facebook, visit our website at c21kirksville.com, and then call us at 660-665-5678. Don't settle for average. Choose an agent who will give you 121%.
After one quarter of play, 3-0 Truman. Hank Jansen.
Well, the Cardinals hurt themselves, Brad. Clearly the penalty on the long run, the penalty on the punt return, the drop pass down the far side led from you guys. It was right on the mark. And, of course, the bad snap. Dogs kind of capitalized. Been pretty decent on defense. Got the fuel to take the 3-0 lead. So the Cardinals have hurt themselves, and the Dogs haven't really capitalized.
Hank Jansen, Kevin White, Brad Boyer with you, Saginaw, Michigan. First down play to start the second quarter. A little dump off out of the backfield. There's McCrary, first down to the Truman 31-yard line, driven out by Nadel. Truman had just one first down in the first quarter. Saginaw Valley had three. The Cardinals had 44 yards rushing. Truman, 9. Dogs had 30 passing. Cardinals had 42. 86 total yards on 18 plays for Saginaw Valley State. Truman, 10 plays, 21 yards. Key stat for Saginaw Valley, as Hank mentioned, three penalties, 35 yards, a bad snap over the punter's head, and a drop ball that could have been a touchdown. First down and 10. Pump fake. Looking deep down in the near sideline. Galliard made the grab. Slips the tackle of Knight into the end zone.
We're going to see this
for
is
a touchdown.
An interesting call.
But we
interesting
have a flag call. Down at the six.
They were both pushing each other, and I think they're going to point it on the Bulldogs. I think it's going to be on DeAnthony Knight down there. But they, you could give either one of them the pass interference.
Pass interference.
Penalty is declined, so it'll be a touchdown, a 31-yard touchdown.
They say he stepped out of bounds.
Oh, check that.
So he's at the 9-yard line.
So a 22-yard pickup. That was basically basketball on turf.
Yep.
I mean, the Galliard has wonderful size for a receiver, 6'3", 205.
At the 9-yard line.
And he just pinned off De'Anthony Knight there, and they called Knight for pass interference, wave it off. They'll take the completion. First and goal from the 9. Hands off. Up the middle, McCrary sandwiched at the 3, but a good pickup on first down. Official there, along with Nadel to make the stop, but a good hole in the middle of the Truman defense. And that was Dejon James and not McCrary. Now McCrary checks in. So it's second and goal from the 3. Just underway, second quarter. Bulldogs up 3-0. Galliard in motion. Single back. And the give is to McCrary. Trying to bounce to the outside. Bulldogs have it bottled up.
Sam Reeves.
And De'Anthony Knight was there to make the stop. That'll be a tackle for loss. The play was intended to go right over center. And Truman won the line of scrimmage.
And
McCrary tried to bounce to the outside. He was wrapped up. They had the quarterback under center that time. Third and goal. Single receiver to each side. And two tight ends.
See if the dog can hold them to a field goal and get a win out of this.
Will Conklin get under center or back it up? He will back it up and put McCrary to his right. Third and goal from the 3 in the pocket. Now Conklin takes off and he slips one tackle, extends the football to the goal line. They call it a touchdown. His body never got into the end zone, but he was able to get the football extended over the goal line, and they called it a touchdown.
Said he just extended it and broke the plane as he was coming down. Good field awareness of where he was at on the field, and the Cardinals have taken a 6-3 lead, extra point pending.
Connor Luksic on to attempt the extra point for SDSU.
Connor Luksic on to attempt the extra point. It was 29 of 36 last year. 11 for 11 this year. And he knocks it through the uprights toward where there's a lake beyond that end zone. And the Cardinals take their first lead, 7-3 on Truman. Well, Hank, on that play, I'm going to go back to the old NFL rule where we never know if a receiver has the ball long enough in the end zone to make it a catch. It's almost gotten to the point, all you got to do is spike the ball in the end zone to get a touchdown call.
You know, I need to know what you guys saw. Couldn't tell. The quarterback was the
fans
any for that ball in the end zone. I thought the official was blowing it dead. It looked to me like with the quarterback down, but definitely the official right there on the sideline blew the whistle before that ball was recovered. I was surprised they didn't call it dead. You guys might have had a better look without the traffic I had to see where the quarterback was, but clearly the whistle blown before anybody recovered that in the end zone.
I think they just called
it a touchdown. They just broke the plane of the broke the plane of the end zone.
Yeah, I think they just called it a straight touchdown, Hank. They just said he just set the ball on there, spiked it onto the goal line. They called it a touchdown.
I see. Well, there you go. I don't know.
That's been part of my beef with some of the calls, yes. You know, and I know we're talking different leagues and whatever, but it's like, well, when is a catch in the end zone? Well, I'd like to know when there's actual possession.
Well, let's see if Lawrence Woods can answer back.
Woods, who had a 90-yard return last year, plants the back foot at the goal line across the 20 to the 25 and is tackled there.
Lawrence Woods. The return for the Bulldogs.
Well, the offense showed a little bit, got 3 points out of good, decent, excellent field position, I should say. They started at the 33, but could not put it in the end zone with 3 points in their last drive. And they will start back at their own 25-yard line on this one.
That was a 9-play, 75-yard drive, 4 minutes, 51 seconds. Ryan Conklin gets credit for a 5-yard.
Bulldogs in that first quarter, 10 plays, just 21 yards on offense. Jaden Barr was 5 of 6 for 30, but the rushing game was not there.
Two backs in the backfield. Fake it to Salima, play action pass, and now a scramble. Good dump off on an outlet to the fullback, but the momentum of his route toward the sideline takes him out of bounds with the football. That was Hayden Holt with his first reception of the season out of Savannah, Missouri. A gain of 2. He would have had more yards if he could have stayed in bounds.
Could have probably got up the sideline for at least 6 or 7 more yards, but you said the momentum of the football brought him toward the sideline, and he just hit it with his big toe, and the official right there to see it.
Holt had 2 catches last year and had a rushing touchdown against William Jewell. Second down and 8. Fake it, rolling it is Barr. Dumps it off again to Holt, and he is tackled hard at the 31-yard line by Dylan Dixon, their strong safety out of Detroit.
He was upended. Jordan Salima added the extra protection back there as he picked up one of the Valley Cardinals defensive linemen who had broken through, and to give Jaden Barr just that extra time to deliver that football.
Right now, in lieu of a running game, Kevin, that's the option, and that's faking it, and then we'll dump off on a screen. It's kind of almost an extension of the running game. Third down and 3. Ras Woods, who has 2 catches in the first half in motion, sets up 3 receivers to the near side. That's where Barr is rolling. Pulls it up, reverses field, avoids still, drops it off, open tight end, CJ. He's got a first down across the 40, rumbles ahead to the 44-yard line, and a nice job by Barr that time to give himself more time to find C.J. Brown.
Is there a flag on that far sideline? I can't tell.
There is at the 36.
Lyman downfield possibly for the Bulldogs. As C.J. Brown was late getting released, I don't know if he was even eligible.
We have a gathering of officials near the Bulldog bench over by the 30. Looks like this one's coming back.
Ineligible player downfield, offense, number 71.
And Kevin White acts like he's officiated before.
Just took too long to develop. And that will negate a first down, and it'll bring back a third down and 7 on a 5-yard penalty.
10:56 to play, second quarter. Saginaw Valley State on top, 7-3. 2-by-1 across the line of scrimmage for the Bulldogs for this third down play. Barr will look from the pocket, now is scrambling and throws it into the Bulldog sideline, incomplete.
Caden Barr throws it out of bounds. Fourth down.
So the penalty kills the drive, and the Bulldogs will have to punt.
Kills the drive, puts the defense back out on the field, which just gave up a touchdown in their last possession. Now Brock Roller will be punting into the wind that we have here at Wicks Memorial Stadium here in Saginaw. He's had 2 good ones. He's reeled off. He's averaged 48 on his first 2 punts. Again, they ran a ball back for a touchdown in their last one that was called back because of a penalty, so the Dogs need to clean that area up.
Michael King is the receiver, and he'll get away from this one as it takes a Bulldog roll, then goes out of bounds at about the 26. 25.
The punt goes out of bounds.
Jaden Barr has
at their own 25.
Moved past Nate Menace on the total offense chart. I think he's 8th now.
Mobile medical response is a private.
Menace played from 94 to 97 for John Ware. Last week, Barr passed Jake Shasheen into 9th place, so now 8th place.
Saginaw Valley State University Athletics.
He's a junior. But the Bulldog offense got to get some things figured out. Way to move that stick. Haven't had a running game yet.
Which is disappointing, as well as we ended the season with a strong running game.
71 carries against McKendree. Conklin and the Saginaw offense out there. Handed off, reverse of field for the running back, and that's our first look at Jeremiah Johnson.
Picks up 5.
Nice job finding a soft spot in the defense.
Tackled by number
Johnson, their leading ball carrier in a balanced rushing attack coming in with 126 yards. Last year, he had 118 yards. They graduated their top rusher, Tommy Scott, from a year ago, who had 948. Second down and five. Galliard in motion. Left to right. Pulls up in the slot. They roll that way. Pitch it to Galliard. Good open field tackle by Woods.
Conklin's pass is complete to Galliard.
Gain him two on the play as Woods came in from his safety position and secured the bigger Galliard, brought him down to the turf, and a third down and three Saginaw Valley will face with 9:27 left here in the first half with the Cardinals up 7-3.
Galliard, not only first-team All-Conference, but All-Region and honorable mention All-American last year as a true freshman. And Sam Reeves jumped across the line, and this is going to be a free first down. Come on, boys, got to tighten it up.
I didn't think he made contact, though. It's not, he can go back.
Offside. Defense number nine, the offense was threatened, reacted. 5 yards.
Well, and the only reason why they reacted is because they were clapping that he came across the line of scrimmage. He didn't make contact, and he can go back. Anything that should have been a false start.
So I guess to learn from that, if you're on the offense, start reacting to the penalty.
I mean, we've seen that many times where a defensive player will jump up, get back, and then they'll go.
So high school, it's automatic.
High school, it's automatic.
First down at the 37. First down pass play. Conklin escapes the pocket, looking downfield, and then just turfs the football as he gets knocked out of the into the red sideline of Saginaw Valley.
Neisler was being held by their offensive lineman. He kind of looked toward the official when he got free, saying, well, where was the flag there? And Dogs did a good job on the defensive secondary to keep everyone covered up.
Edwards with the good pressure there. Good job by the secondary, too, because Conklin had time to throw the football. 8:47 to play first half. Cardinals up 7-3. Sunny, warm afternoon in Michigan. And we've got a timeout taken by head coach Jim Collins. Didn't like that formation. We'll take it as well. With 8:47 to play in the first half, Dogs down 7-3. We're back right after this. You're listening to Truman Football.
The kids are back in school, and you're there to help them along every step of the way. PTA meetings, soccer practice, concerts, field trips, and yes, even a little algebra. But who's helping you? Have you plotted your financial roadmap? We can help.
Horizon Credit Union in Macon. We're here to help you with all your financial needs so you can focus on everything else.
Greatness. It's not born of coincidence. It's not a product of luck. It's forged through dedication, drills, and the acquisition of new skills. Wanting won't get you there, but sweat equity just might.
Sheraton Valley, your complete communications provider, proudly supports all area school activities. Sheraton Valley wishes you the best of luck this season. See how we are keeping you connected at cvalley.net.
Down and 10 after the Cardinals timeout. Ball at the Saginaw 37-yard line. Conklin slaps his hands together and then gives it off to Johnson as he jukes his way through traffic across the 40 to the 42-yard line, a gain of five.
Just sat there and picked his way, was very patient, let his offensive line got him some holes. He ran behind the tight end who was in motion toward the near sideline. And picked up five, third and five from the Saginaw Valley 42-yard line. Dogs shuffle in some personnel. Neisler comes in, and they'll bring in some extra defensive back. Meyerson checks in for the Dogs as well.
Bennett Swopes checked in at an in spot as well. Johnson, a running back out of the former home of the Silver Dome, Pontiac, Michigan. Twins to each side, third down and five. Conklin, tunnel screen dropped by their All-American receiver. Oh, he took a peek up. He had blockers, wanted to see where he was headed with the football, and did not latch on. Another break for the Bulldogs.
Two or three drops by the wide receivers of this Cardinal offense. Spencer Newell will go back and stand at his own 20-yard line to receive this punt.
Spencer Newell back to receive.
Natus, 8 punts, just 32-yard average the first 2 weeks, and he shanked this one off the side of his foot. Let's see where the officials spot it going across the boundary.
I like the guy's pace here so far.
Yeah, he's still running. Oh, he pulled up way too quick. I thought he was going to slow to a jog and then a walk. No.
They'll say the 37-yard line of the Bulldogs will take over.
Still, when you're return man was set up at the 20. You'll take the 37.
7:54 left here in the first half. Truman offense has been sputtering again for the third straight week. Just needs something to just jar this loose. You know, and last year we talked how good Salima was. Jake Ellis has not had has only had one pass this year, and that was week one.
Hank, we got to figure out a way to get Jordan Salim in the running game going, don't we?
Well, I know that was part of the plan, is to get him going a little bit today. Just has been no cracks in there. Dogs have had tough getting any yardage on the ground and certainly struggling throwing the ball. It's been a difficult first half offensively. But Salima is a guy you got to make it happen. You got to find a way to get him the ball, whether it's out in space throwing it to him or trying to find some cracks up front. But just nothing happening. He might even have negative yardage at this point.
I think
got to find a way to get something going.
Well, one way they're going to try is with the Wildcat or the Wild Dog formation. He's going to be the quarterback on this formation. They've got three backs around him. Hand it off. Salina hands it off to Satula. And with blockers in front, it's strung out and shut down for a short gain. So I guess everybody assumed that Salima would run the football. He did give it off on his own version of the read option and a couple for Satula, Hank.
And you know, we saw Salima throw one, catch one, and run for one in a game last year. We've seen him throw touchdown passes, I think, on a couple of occasions, so at least a little bit of a threat there.
Now Barr is back in at quarterback.
So just a one play look, second down and 8. Read option, handed off to Salima, stacked up and stuffed.
And that's just been the same play that they have given Jordan Salima, and it's just run into the back of his offensive line. Jordan, and a negative yard, negative play on that regard. He just cannot continue to run into the back of the offensive line.
Going to have to win that line of scrimmage better up front. And so that'll be a loss of one. They did give him a little forward progress. Football shy of the 38-yard line. Here we go, third down again. Nichols, Ruffin, and Wood stack along the hash mark to the left side of the formation. Barr drops to throw. Here comes a blitz. Releases near side. Woods goes high. Bounces off a tackler midfield. To the 40, to the 35, and Brass Woods is providing a bit of a punch for this offense here this afternoon. Not only the catch, which would have been near a first down, but he bounced off a hard hit and yards after the catch to the 35-yard line.
You needed a jump start, and that was it. And the Saginaw went for the football knowing that Brass had fumbled on a previous play. He fumbled it out of bounds. Brass did a good job of hanging on to that football.
27-yard gain unofficially. Trips to the right. They'll hand it off. Salima wanted to slide to the outside, then cut it back up, and nothing there again. He is stuffed. This is a running back for the Bulldogs that had 1,111 yards rushing last year.
You couldn't tell that by seeing it this year.
Finding any space this year.
Not finding it between the tackles. And they really, they've limited him, and they're not throwing to him either. They haven't been able to get him in space because he was the leading receiver last year.
Monty Sharp has checked into the receiving corps. Also, Ian Ronan in for the first time, and we've got a flag as Chetri came out of his stance. Ian Ronan is a redshirt freshman out of Caryville, Texas. He's been battling a bit of an injury. And so we see him for the first time. They liked what they saw from Ronan out of camp. And also Monty Sharp, the sister of two-sport Truman standout Megan Sharp, an All-American for the volleyball team, also played for the basketball team, is in there out of Edwardsville, Illinois. Second and 15 after the five-yard penalty. Pistol formation, handed off to Salima, and finally some space as he busted up the gut to the 33-yard line. A gain of 7 yards, by far his most productive carry of the season. With 5 minutes to go in the first half, Hank Jansen, good to see Brass Woods provide a little punch to this offense.
Need a little punch somewhere, no doubt about it. Tall, lanky, we've kind of been wondering, and done a nice job of going up high, ball delivered high, went up and snagged it, and then turned big yards with the run after the catch.
Third down and 8. Trips stacked up to the right of the formation. Here comes a blitz at Barr. It's picked up. Hitch route knocked away nicely. Mitch Nichols, intended receiver at the 27, and Donnell Alexander got his arm around to flick that pass away, and the Bulldogs will likely go for it on fourth down.
Just outside of field goal range, whatever wind it is in the face of the Bulldogs, so they'll go for it here on fourth down. I don't think that was going to be enough for a first down on the hitch to Nichols.
But it would have been closer.
It would have been closer.
Yeah, could have kept the run-pass option open. Now likely we'll have to go to the air. Fourth down and 8, 33-yard line. Trying to keep this drive in Saginaw territory alive. Late blitz. Barr pass knocked down. Michael Alexander, middle linebacker, got in his face. And the Bulldogs will turn over the ball. On downs with 4:29 to play in the first half, trailing 7-3.
They were trying to slip Salima out of the backfield there, and the defensive lineman for Saginaw Valley saw it come and just blew it up and got his hands in the way to knock the ball down. So with 4:29 left here in the first half, the Bulldog defense will go back to work. They have been on the field a long time in this game. The last check we had, it was 11:28 for Saginaw, 5:59 for the Bulldogs, and we have seen that number of being more accustomed to the Truman side of things.
Reed McBroom checks in at running back for the Bulldogs, the sophomore out of Brookfield. First down and 10. Conklin slaps the hands and hands the football off. A jarring hit just past the line of scrimmage on James, who's back in running the football.
Hey, John James, the ball
started
carrier.
The game. Then we saw McCrary. Then we saw Johnson. Now back to Dejon James, and a good stick by A.J. DeVecchi. Gain of 2.
Reed McBroom on the stop.
McBroom was in there as well.
A 2-yard gain. Second down and
Reed
eight.
McBroom, 2-time Crest All-Star and an All-State at Brookfield High School. Had over 4,000 yards as a running back, 56 career touchdowns, and he had over 400 career tackles in high school. Here's a pass near side Edmondson. There's that little short hitch route, and J.D. Hurd plays catch up and drags him out of bounds, but not before a first down at the 45-yard line. It's the fourth time Conklin has gone to Edmondson on that little short route to the outside.
Those are free yards. Cushion. And those are free yards to get. It moves the chains, gives you a new set of downs. I'd take it all day.
3:26 and counting, second quarter. Handed off to James. Slides up inside for good yardage to the 48-yard line. Pickup of 5.
Ball carrier.
Tackle made by Jake Floyd out of Columbia, Missouri.
Sam Reeves of the Bulldogs. A gain of 5.
Reeves was over there as well, the two-sport Truman athlete.
It's a Cardinal team that came into this game averaging 450 yards of total offense in their first two games.
Second and 5, pump fake. Now a comeback route and caught by Galliard. And he will be tackled at the 38-yard line. That is the old back shoulder throw there, as Conklin saw Woods sprinting down the sideline with Galliard. Good communication between quarterback receiver as he threw that ball short to the back shoulder, and Galliard came back for the catch.
Moves in the Truman territory at their own 38-yard line.
14-yard gain.
Clock winding, 2.5 to go here in half. Saginaw with 2 timeouts. And now a timeout is going to be taken by the Bulldogs. They've got 3.
charge timeout.
As they didn't like what they saw and wanted to settle their defense down. They have been on the field a long time here in this first half, trailing 7-3.
Let's take it as well from Saginaw, Michigan. We'll return in 30 seconds.
No matter what you have going on today, make sure you set aside some time for this very special once-in-a-lifetime event. It's the Moberly Motors Grand Opening and 75th Anniversary Celebration happening today from 11 to 3. It's two celebrations in one to introduce the public to our brand-new state-of-the-art facility and to celebrate 75 years and four generations of tradition right here in Moberly. It's fun for the whole family with free food and drinks, tons of great prizes and giveaways, classic cars on display, a caricature artist, multiple radio stations live on site, tours of our all-new facility, and more. We couldn't have been in business for 75 years without you. And we built this new facility to serve you better. So what better way to celebrate both than to have a party for all of you? Come join the fun here at Moberly Motors during our grand opening and 75th anniversary celebration happening today from 11 to 3.
Ten for Saginaw at the Truman 38-yard line with 2:26 to play in the half. Handed off to James, bounces off the pile to the outside, and the Bulldogs in pursuit limit the gain to just two.
Kept them in bounds as well, so the clock continues to spin.
Good job by Woods and Reeves.
Edwards also pursuing that one.
And you're right, Kevin, the clock continues to wind.
Dogs will get the ball to start the second half as they deferred on the opening the coin toss.
Their kicker's got some range. Lusick last year hit a 40-yard field goal. Second down and nine. I'm sorry, he's hit a 40-yard field goal this year. Conklin straight back to pass. Hit from behind and sacked.
There he is.
There he is, the stack master, Sam Reeves, back at the 44-yard line. His 24th career sack, fourth on the career. Check that, he's now tied for third. As we have a down player, an offensive lineman for Saginaw Valley. And I believe we have a timeout called, right, Kevin?
Well, it's an official's timeout.
For an injury?
For an injury. So yeah, it should be a charge timeout against Saginaw since it's under 2 minutes.
Well, let's let Hank go down memory lane as we wait for the injured player. That is sack number 24 for Sam Reeves. Last week he passed Tim Gildehouse and Pete Grathwall, and now he moves into a tie, Hank, with Mark Sobel, who played with Grathwall from 75 to 78, 24 career sacks.
Wow, Tim Gildehouse, a long, lanky player from St. Francis Borgia in Washington. Where dogs familiar with that area. His dad was a coach, played on that 82 team of Bruce Craddock's that went to the playoffs in Jacksonville State on a tough defensive line. Ligo Latuli, Elijah Lockhart, Don Fiosa, really very good, one of the better defenses ever. Petey Grathwall and Mark Sobel, two of the excellent players, a year older than Coach Greg Nesbitt, came here in 75 with a whole bunch of guys. Pete Grathwall came with 13 or 14 dudes that were state champs at Hickman High. Pete was intense. He was as much of a flip-the-switch guy as I've ever been around, easygoing, low-key. Man, you got him on the field, and he just was intense and went for it. End rusher, ended up getting hurt as a senior. Had a broken leg. Mark Sobel, a little bit of an undersized defensive lineman, but great technique, great quickness. Had been a wrestler and was really one of the better defensive tackles in my time for the Bulldogs. So those are three excellent players, excellent defensive linemen that he has moved past on this all-time sack list.
Yeah, so Reeves is tied with Sobel for third all-time. Ligo Latuli will be next. He's two sacks away from his mark. Injured player Brendan O'Brien, their left tackle, is having to be helped off the field. Hank?
You know, Reeves and then Grathwell's and then those other guys are tackles. And plenty of times you don't see those tackles. Ligo Latuli was a big, powerful Samoan. Came from a Samoa to play and was really a run stuffer. Clearly had some zip to the passer. Elijah Lockhart, a tackle from St. Louis, is right up there somewhere in the single season sack world. He probably was only a year starter, but was really good that year, that 82 team. Again, maybe the best defense I've seen out of Bulldog teams, that 82 team of Bruce Craddock's, Hayes and Adi on the offensive side that got beat at Jacksonville State in the NCAA quarterfinals.
All right, third down and 16. Injured player helped off the field, and the Cardinals will go to the air. Near side to the big tight end, wide open. Turning up the field is Will Farr. He's going to be stopped shy of first down yardage, but a good pickup to the 31-yard line, 3 yards short.
They will go for it, I appear.
Will Farr, 6'4", 242, missed most of last year with an injury.
A gain of 13.
So they're glad to have him back at tight end. And now you got a big fourth down play here late in the first half. The Cardinals are letting the clock run.
Now they'll call a timeout.
With 56 seconds left. Fourth down and three. This is a big play, Kevin.
Yeah, it's going to be the momentum builder. The Dogs will either bring some momentum into the locker room after this, or momentum will be zapped for them if Saginaw can convert and get points out of this.
Yeah, this would be huge if you can get the stop. No, you're going to get the football back, Hank. So pretty big play here.
Perhaps the most pivotal play of the game, fellas. Maybe this young season, Dogs 0-2 have really struggled to generate offense consistently, including they can't run the football, been sporadic passing. If you can get a stop here, give yourself some life going to the locker room at halftime and get it come back. If they go on and pick this up and score, you know, as much trouble as the Dogs have had moving the football and scoring, 14-3 or even 10-3, man, if they could get a touchdown, 14-3 might be difficult for the Dogs to overcome the way they've struggled. So this could be one of the pivotal plays of the season right here for this Bulldog team.
Defense has held up pretty well so far today. What will Coach Collins and the Cardinals draw up on fourth down and three? Conklin is going to get under center.
You got to know where Galliard is, the big receiver.
Isolated left side, Woods will mark him. Two tight end formation, single receiver to each side. In the backfield is McCrary.
Play
fake
action.
It, they'll roll it to the tight end. Caught, it's all about the mark. Then the ball comes
short.
Free.
He's short.
And it looks like the mark is going to be short. What a tackle by Siegel. Jordan Siegel.
Gavin Barnes.
If I'm not mistaken, made the stop on Gavin Barnes, 6'2", 241-pound tight end. Did I have that right?
I think you're right.
Yeah, terrific stop by Jordan Siegel, Hank, to pull the big fella down.
That's a heck of a play, gentlemen. You had a better look coming right at you, right to that sideline. Pretty safe call. You think you get 3 or 4 yards out of it, get your big target out in the flat, drag him out to that right sideline. Coming right at you guys, an excellent job to get up there. Get a hand on it, pull him down right there to deny him that 3 yards for the first down. Big play for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, two timeouts, 50 seconds. See what you do here. If you get positive yardage on here, you might try for something. If not, you might take it to the house.
Jordan Siegel has one of the three touchdowns the Bulldogs have on the board this season. Handoff, no. Pulled away by Barr, sprinting to the near side. Gets to the boundary. Shoulder pad to shoulder pad nudge out of bounds. That'll stop the clock with 45 seconds to play as Aaron Berry came up to make the tackle.
Both tight ends come into the game. Jake Ellis, C.J. Brown check in.
Gain of six for Barr.
A gain of six on the play. Second down and
Dante Ruff and Brass Woods to the far side. Ellis and Brown are your other receivers. And they are split here to the near side.
And Barr will hand it off to Salima. Tries to power it ahead for a first down. Only picks up
Jordan
a couple
Salima,
yards.
The ball carrier.
And the Bulldogs, knowing they're going to get the football to start the second half, going to let this clock run out.
Stops by number 95, Keith Williams.
Maybe take one shot here.
A gain of two brings up third down and two.
The play clock does not have to run, so it's under 40 seconds. So the Dogs do not have to snap if they don't want to. They may take a timeout and set up that one last play.
Greg Nesbitt has taken the headset off, so he may be content. We'll be hearing from him as he heads toward the locker room. Also, we're going to hear from women's soccer coach Mike Cannon on the halftime show. So we've got a defensive battle here in Great Lakes Country as the Bulldogs of Truman trail Saginaw Valley State 7-3. 30 minutes of action in the books, and the teams will head across the street to the locker room area, and Hank will grab a word with Greg Nesbitt before we begin our halftime festivities. Go ahead, Hank.
Well, huge play defensively there to get the stop. Nez, as much as your offense struggling, huge play to keep and get them off the field.
It really was. It was big time for us. Brian Edwards making a play real time. Competitive leadership is what that is, and got us off the yard. we get the ball start the second half, we'll keep pecking away. We've moved it a little bit, have really struggled on thirds. Got to find a way to get some conversions. I thought Jaden settled down a little bit in the second quarter. Hopefully he can pick up there, and it looks like we might have found some with our option game right here at the tail end of the half.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Hank. Thank you, Coach Nesbitt. So we'll tip our cap to Brian Edwards. That's who Coach had on that big fourth down stop for the Bulldogs. Appreciate the hospitality of the folks at Saginaw Valley State, doing a wonderful job here as we come here our first time and very much enjoyed our experience. The only thing that would be better is to
come home with a win.
Get a win.
Get a win.
But Eric and his group here on the, with the Sports Information Department doing a good job. All right, it's time for a halftime report. Bulldogs down 7-3. My visit with head coach Mike Cannon. They took their first loss of the season last night, but other than that, had it rolling pretty good until last night. They'll try to gear it up again tomorrow. We'll hear our visit with Coach coming up right after this 90-second timeout. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Where else do steak and peanut lovers go without having to clean up the mess? Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville, naturally. Nothing like perusing the menu and munching on our endless bucket of peanuts. Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville has something for everyone. USDA choice juicy steaks, fresh seafood, tender chicken, fall-off-the-bone ribs, fresh ground burgers, and crispy salads. Come on in to Colton Steakhouse and Grill for the best steak west of the Mississippi. We're located on Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville.
It's free. Capital Paving and Construction is a full-service asphalt paving company that includes asphalt repair, sealing, coating, resurfacing, paving, and maintenance. And here's the free part. Capital Paving and Construction offers a free estimate of your project and strive to accomplish it on a timely basis. They work with your schedule and your budget. From heavy highway construction and DOT paving to residential asphalt, count on the quality of Capital Paving and Construction in Central Missouri. With offices in Columbia, Jefferson City, and beyond, call today for your estimate or go to capitalmo.com.
When you have an accident or an injury, you want the best care possible. Dr. John Bailey in Kirksville has many years of experience in general orthopedic care and sports medicine. Dr. Bailey has served as the leading team physician for the Truman Bulldogs for nearly 20 years and has been inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. Take the first step to recovery by setting up an appointment with Dr. Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine in Kirksville at 660-665-0950.
At the half, let's visit with Truman women's soccer coach Mike Cannon. They are off to a terrific start at 4-0. And Coach, certainly you've been stingy in giving up goals, just one so far in four games. Tell me how well your defense has played.
Yeah, I mean, we know we got three shutouts and in four games, and you know, I mean, just our team defense has been really good so far. Still tweaking who we're playing where, kind of stuff a little bit, but you know, definitely with the freshman goalkeeper, it's been good. You know, we've been really pleased. You know, kind of what we'd normally try to do as far as not give up many opportunities, not many chances. So we've been good in that respect, which is great.
So you're looking in the off season for a keeper, and you land a kid from Scotland. What a pleasant surprise Beth Hopwood has been. Tell me about her play and her strengths as a keeper.
Yeah, no, it's worked out really well, thankfully. You know, we graduated two senior keepers from last year, and we got two freshman keepers this year, and they're both doing really well so far. But Beth has played all the minutes so far, and yeah, she's solid. You know, she's confident. She's played a little bit like under 19 internationally for Northern Ireland. She's Scottish, but they have some Northern Ireland blood apparently in the family. And yeah, she's confident. She talks. Her distribution is really good. She's unafraid to make big saves. And you know, a couple of the games we play, we haven't been tested too much, but definitely late in the game on Sunday against Upper Iowa, and then the overtimes, she had to make a couple big saves, and a few here and there against SBU and Davenport too. So yeah, it's been nice to have a freshman that's playing more like an experienced player.
You said something there in communication. That's such an important part of that position, and for a youngster, a freshman to come in, that's got to be pleasing. How well she helps direct traffic back there.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what I was getting at. You know, you can't can't teach experience. And, you know, like, you know, with freshmen, you never know. Like, some kids are fine with actually communicating and being loud and not afraid of hearing their own voice. And other kids are quiet for a year or two or quieter. But, yeah, she's, you know, I think it's some of the European thing, too. We've had, we haven't, this is only our second international player we've ever had, but on the men's side, they've had a few more. And, you know, usually just they just seem a little bit more mature. Just in terms of like when they're playing, as far as, you know, being confident and communicating and not worrying about hurting people's feelings, just saying what needs to be said.
Mike Cannon is my guest, Truman women's soccer coach, and outstanding tradition of Bulldog soccer. Last year you were around the 500 mark. What did you feel like the outlook was for your team coming in?
I mean, it's still early. You know, we've gotten to the non-conference portion of our schedule, so now the kind of the meat of the schedule is coming up with all the GOVC games, so we'll really find out you know, how good we are. But yeah, coming in, I was, you know, a little bit of an unknown because we had a, you know, big freshman class. We had 13 kids coming in, but we returned 20, so we had a big group coming in for preseason. You know, we went to Italy with the majority of the group prior to preseason. I think that gave us a little bit of a jump start on getting to know the new kids better and letting them settle in and feel comfortable around the older girls. And, you know, we got to play four scrimmages over there, so that definitely was a bonus. When we got back, you could tell a lot of the, you know, a lot of the team chemistry stuff had already started to take place. So, yeah, I mean, I was hopeful. You just, you know, you don't know how it's going to play out. Obviously, this is a near dream start as far as, you know, hoping to get through the first four non-conference games with four wins and, you know, set ourselves up hopefully for a good GOVC run.
What was the competition like over in Italy?
It was okay. On the women's side, at least the teams we played, they were very technical. Like, they're very skillful. It's kind of like their, what do they call it, their holiday kind of break when we were over there. So, you know, I don't think the teams had all of their players. But, you know, we were just more athletic, fitter. So that made a difference in a lot of the games. You know, but they were definitely, like, talented players, just not as athletic or fit, so we were able to kind of run past them a little bit at times. But it was good though. So, you know, we actually scored a bunch of goals over there. Got to work on that side of the ball, you know, just a little bit more on the offensive side, which is usually the harder side for us. You know, usually we're really good defensively, and, you know, some years we score a decent amount and some years we don't score quite as much. But, you know, obviously this year we're off to a pretty good start scoring too, knock on wood. So hopefully that'll continue.
Does a trip like that benefit from a team bonding standpoint?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can just tell all the kids that went on the trip. You know, we had a good spring too, so that helped with the older kids returning, all being a little bit closer. but definitely with the new kids, and like I said, with such a big group, you know, I think they started to bond and fit in, you know, pretty quick. So when we got back here for preseason, it wasn't, you know, trying to remember names and, you know, how's this person play or what's that person do. You know, we kind of already figured a lot of that stuff out on the trip. And, you know, it's a good, you know, we're playing a few, you know, some scrimmages, but a lot of it was, you know, walking around Rome and looking at the Colosseum and, you know, being in Venice and, you know, shopping and doing this and that. So, it's, you know, it's a little bit less stressful, I guess, as far as it's not just soccer. You know, it's kind of a little bit more social.
Mike Cannon, my guest, Truman women's soccer coach. Tell me a little bit about the play of Paige Peterson from Rockbridge High School in Columbia, among your leaders in shots on goal. How she played?
She's done well. she tweaked her hamstring a little bit right at the end of the Italy trip, so you know, we're kind of nursing that a little bit through preseason. But, yeah, she's been a very important player for us. Scored our game-winning goal in the first game against Davenport here 2 weeks ago. But yeah, no, she's, you know, such a talented player, you know, strong physical player, but also extremely talented. Can, you know, can score goals, can set up goals. Yeah, she's, you know, she had a real good freshman year, especially towards the end, and I think she's just kind of built on that and, you know, gone from being kind of like, I think she started more at the end of the season last year. This year, she's, you know, definitely in the starting lineup.
Who else is leading you on the offensive end?
I'd say we're getting, you know, Maggie Beam's been really good for us up top. She hasn't scored in the regular season yet. She scored a couple in the preseason. But she kind of sets the tone with just her work rate and just kind of holding the ball up and moving us up the field. And we've gotten some production from some of the new kids. Faith Branson scored the tying goal on Sunday against Upper Iowa. And then Katie Vollmer's another freshman that scored two goals against Southwest Baptist last weekend. So we're getting some, you know, it's mixed. Chance Douglas had a goal and an assist on Friday against Northwest. Hannah Hickey's popped in a goal. She's a sophomore that plays in the midfield. So we're getting some good production, but, you know, and a lot of it's coming up more out of our, like, freshman sophomore classes. So that's pretty exciting for the future.
Coach Mike Cannon and the Bulldogs will open conference play this weekend, and you can check out Truman against Southern Indiana on Sunday. Let me just get a feel from you on the conference race. I know McKendree and Quincy were picked atop the league. I think you were picked fifth. How do you look at the conference?
It should be a pretty interesting year. McKendree, you know, they'll be good. They lost their big goal scorer. She's out for the year with an injury. Quincy's got a new coach, and they lost a decent number of, like, really good players, but they should still be good. You know, Bellarmine, they were the other one that made the national tournament last year. They lost not many, but they lost a few key players, and they look like they should be pretty good this year. But I don't think, at least from the early non-conference games, just looking at it, it looks like it's going to be pretty tight race. I don't think anybody's going to, like, jump out and run away with it. You know, kind of like Quincy and McKendree are kind of head and shoulders above everybody last year. To use a phrase that people would love to hear for us, be a real dogfight, I think, as far as, you know, lots of teams battling, you know, for every spot, you know, top spot, top four, top eight to get in the conference tournament. No easy games, but again, I don't think there's anybody that's, like, looking like they're going to run away with it.
Best of luck to the Bulldogs, Coach. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
It's Truman Women's Soccer Coach Mike Cannon. More coming up at the half. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Truman State University, located in Kirksville, Missouri, is consistently recognized as one of the nation's best colleges and universities. Most recently, the September-October issue of the Washington Monthly ranked Truman as the seventh best master's university in the nation. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine selected Truman as number 19 on their list of the 100 top values in public colleges. Call us at 800-892-7792 to set up your personal Truman State University visit.
If our leaders don't understand our way of life, how is our government ever going to work for us? As a daughter of rural Missouri, Claire McCaskill never forgot where she came from. She was born in Rolla because Houston was too small to have a hospital. Claire's family knew hard times. They moved around a lot, learning firsthand the value of hard work and the challenges families face growing up in rural Missouri. For Claire, standing up for small town Missouri is in her bones. That's why she fights for us every day in the Senate, working with anyone to get things done. When other politicians tried to close our rural hospitals and cut protections for people who have pre-existing health conditions, Claire stood shoulder to shoulder with us to protect our health care. Because that's what you get with Claire McCaskill. She doesn't care what anyone else thinks. She's going to keep on fighting for us.
I'm Claire McCaskill, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Senate.
Back in Saginaw, Michigan, taking a look around the GOVC scoreboard. I keep forgetting we're an hour ahead of everybody else, so
scores you don't have any scores.
Well, I've got a couple, everything else is just getting started on the Central
Eastern time zone. Yes.
Findlay, Ohio, is hosting William Jewell. That's the other score that's on in the half. And it's Findlay all over William Jewell, 37-7. Bowie State is at McKendree, no score early on. UW Oshkosh, a Division III school, is down in Jefferson City playing Lincoln today. Missouri S&T is at Drake up in Des Moines, Iowa. And that game is just getting underway as well. St. Francis of Illinois, we were there a few years ago from Joliet. They are down in Quincy. And they will play at 5 o'clock today over in the Gem City. We want to mention something about Quincy. We haven't seen him in the game yet, but we can mention Malik Robbins had his school record broken last night.
Rushing record broken by Jarrell Brock, who's signed or committed to Iowa State. I think he actually signed to play at Iowa State. Malik had 3,524 yards as a Blue Devil running back. And last night, Brock broke his
And Malik,
high school career rushing record.
Malik, a nice gesture, tweeted out at him, congratulating him on breaking his record, and that was well received by everyone in the Quincy area. They still look out for Malik. And
you mentioned William Jewell getting drummed by Finley. Finley, a team receiving votes in the national rankings. Last week, Jewell played the number one team.
And was lost by 10.
Pretty competitive, yeah. Put a little bit of a scare in Texas A&M Commerce. They will be the conference opening game the last Saturday night of the month.
Yeah, when we return back to Stoke Stadium for that night game on the 29th.
Another set of Cardinals like Saginaw.
Exactly, almost same logo and stuff.
There you go.
Of course, next week we'll be in a place where we drove through on the way up here, Valparaiso, a Division I FCS school. They're a non-scholarship FCS school. They're playing Bo Pelini's team, Youngstown State today.
Yeah.
So we'll have some stories about that, and we'll see if we get any Bo Pelini reaction from their folks when we go visit them. But we'll be there next week in Indiana, Valparaiso, Indiana. Truman Cross Country teams were down in Joplin today for the Missouri Southern Stampede. They had a bunch of teams down there, Division I, Division II. Then they had some Division III and NAIA JUCO teams. So they had separate races for everybody, even high school teams, as a big cross country festival down there in Joplin. The Truman women finished in 15th position. Gemma Satoff with the top time for the Bulldogs, 18:51. Michael Grassing for the men finished 99th overall, 27:38, as the Bulldog men finished 21st out of 27 teams down there. And coming up later this afternoon in Pershing Arena, the Bulldog volleyball team returns to action as they will face Quincy University in a GLVC matchup. That match is free and open to the public, and if you can listen to the game, listen to us in the Pershing, and then watch some volleyball that afternoon. Let's take a look at your halftime statistics as Saginaw Valley leads the Bulldogs here 7-3, and the stat sheet has been one-sided thus far for the Cardinals. They have picked up 8 first downs, the Bulldogs with just 2 first downs in that first half. They took advantage of a short field. A bad snap on a punt allowed the Bulldogs to start at the Cardinal 35-yard line. They ended up with just a field goal out of that as the Bulldogs get a 32-yard field goal by Josh Sheeter and took a 3-0 lead at the 2:24 mark of the first quarter. Saginaw Valley on their next possession got a big third down, a scramble by their quarterback, and then later on the quarterback on third and goal again, Ryan Conklin, scrambled in from 5 yards out as he just broke the plane to cap off a 9-play 75-yard drive to give the Cardinals the lead 7-5. Conklin, 13 of 19 passing for 117 yards here in the first half. He was sacked once, and that was by Sam Reeves. Jaden Barr, 8 of 12 for 63 yards. His longest pass was 27 to Brass Woods on a third down completion as well, and that was the only third down pickup by the Dogs in that first half. They were 1 of 6. Saginaw Valley, 3 of 8 on third down. Total yards, Saginaw Valley, 36 plays, 181 yards of total offense. The Bulldogs, 22 plays with only 70 yards of total offense. The rushing yards are the big story. Truman with just 7 total rushing yards on the day. Jordan Salima, 7 carries. He has netted just 4 yards on his 7 carries. He's been stopped behind the line of scrimmage on several of those attempts. Andy Satua, 1 carry for 2 yards. Jaden Barr, 2 carries for 1 yard. Brass Woods, 3 receptions, 43 yards, with that 27 being the longest. Hayden Holt, 2 catches for 6 yards. Mitch Nichols, 1 catch for 6. Jacob Morris, 1 catch for 4. For Saginaw Valley, their quarterback is also their leading rusher, Ryan Conklin, 4 rushes for 24 yards. DeJuan James, 7 carries for 21 yards. He came in as the starter this afternoon. Jeremiah Johnson, 2 carries for 10 yards. Nathan McCreary had 3 catches for 6. As the Dogs will get the ball to start the second half, and this is a big stand for Truman as they were able to get Saginaw Valley off the field. They got forced a 4th down and probably 5, and Brian Edwards with the tackle on a little pass out into the flat to the tight end brought him down 1 yard short. That came after Sam Reeves had gotten that sack to push them into a 3rd and long situation. So the defense with some big stops late in that first half, and see if the Dogs can turn the momentum around. As we said, that was going to be a big momentum swing one way or the other. Either get off the field without any points scored or give up points and head to the locker room down by more than just the 4 points that we are down right now.
All right, so We'll see if they can build on that here on the opening drive. Good to see Brass Woods production in the first half. Maybe he's going to step up and say, I'm going to be a go-to outlet for Jaden Barr and open up this offense.
Well, he looks right across the field to a pretty good receiver in Chad Galliard. You know, sometimes if you see your competition and how much of an impact they're having in the game, maybe it might spur you on to be that type of impact for your team. So he's seen two good receivers the last 2 weeks that the Dogs have faced, and maybe Brass Woods can say, I'm going to fill that role for Truman and be that go-to guy.
And the defense has held up well. De'Anthony Knight, six tackles to lead the way. One half a tackle behind the line. Brian Edwards, five. Zach Nadel, five. Lawrence Woods, four. Sack for Sam Reeves.
Other scores real quick. Oklahoma leads Iowa State 31-24. Penn State leads Kent State 35-10. Miami leads Toledo 28-21 late third quarter. Georgia all over Middle Tennessee 49-7. Clemson over Georgia Southern 24-7.
And the Cardinals lead the Dodgers 4-3. That game in the bottom of the fourth inning at Busch Stadium. That game is over on 99.9 FM Kirk. If you're listening on our local radio stations, we'll have that. Then there'll be a break, and then we'll have Mizzou football from Purdue 4:30 today on 99.9 FM Kirk and CentralMoInfo.com. Here comes the kickoff to lead off the second half, and it is Woods backed up, and it sails over his head and through the end zone. So there's no doubt the better of the wind coming at the back of Saginaw here in the third quarter, as we've seen both these kickers knock their kicks well into the end zone.
Well, what kind of adjustments did the Bulldogs make at halftime? You heard Greg Nesbitt talk to Hank at before half and thought they found something there with the option game. We saw them try the wild dog formation to start a drive with Jordan Salima as your lead receiver. Jaden Barr will come out under, I would say under center, but at quarterback in that pistol position with Salima flanking him behind him.
Ruffin to the near side, Nichols and Woods to the right. Two-back formation, and Salima is nailed in the backfield by David Still. He did not remain still. He shot through the line and blasted Salima for a five-yard loss.
Still met the ball as the ball was getting to Jaden Barr.
Well, he came out ready to play. An offensive line better gear it up.
Yep, they need to strap it on. And
so negative yards total rushing for Salima with that loss.
And that might bring him down to just 2 yards for the day.
Second and 15. Trips to the right side. Barr rolls that way, and his pass through the hands of Wood at the 25-yard line incomplete. Would have been a
minimal pickup.
Five-yard gain, but we'll have to go third and 15 now. Well, that, the kind of play by Still you hope hasn't set the tone for the second half. 7-3, you're excited, you got to stop, you get the football, and boom, he drops your best back for a five-yard loss. C.J. Nichols, or I'm sorry, C.J. Brown will split out with Nichols and Woods to the far side. It's a quarterback draw, and Barr will be spun down after a three-yard gain by Heath Williams with third and long down and distance. Bulldogs keep it conservative and send out Brock Roller to hopefully unload this punt. Back to receive, Michael King. First half, he had a punt return for a touchdown called back by penalty. Snap is good by Hamill. They got into the backfield, but Roller able to lift the punt to the far side. It hits at the 44 and angles out of bounds at the 42-yard line.
Of course, Saginaw will take over with their first possession of the game. Possession time in that first half, 17-43 for Saginaw, 12-17 for the Bulldogs.
About 680 miles, a trip from Kirksville to Saginaw, Michigan.
Beautiful country we drove through.
Longest trip for the Bulldogs this year. From the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the GLIAC, the Cardinals of Saginaw Valley State, Grand Valley State, the pick to win the conference. Ferris picked second, Ashland third. Grand Valley picked with Northwood and Wayne State tied for fourth. And it's first down carry, tackle made by Siegel on Dejon James.
That play right there is just what the Bulldogs are missing offensively. I mean, it's just a 3-4 yard game, but it's a positive play on first down. And I don't know if it's just the push of the offensive line that's just not creating any openings or holes, but, I mean, that's just a simple off-tackle run play that sets up this second and six play.
Their all-conference center over the football, Trevor Curl, snaps it back to Conklin. Rolling and throwing on the run for Galliard, and he pulled up short as he knew that DeAnthony Knight was going to lay a pop on him at the 40-yard line. The pass sailed over his head anyway.
And that was smart by DeAnthony Knight because he follows through with that. He's out of the game with a targeting penalty.
And I think the field judge came up and acknowledged that and said, nice job. Six, pulling up on your potential blast of the receiver. So can the Bulldog defense get off the field? Bennett Swope comes onto the field at an end spot. Neisler and Floyd check out. So you take out a couple of your D tackles and see if your rush ends can get at Conklin on this third down and seven from the 45.
Just a
three-man rush near side. Bulldogs play coverage, and they make the stop at midfield, 2 yards shy of where Will Farr needed to get for a first down. Edwards and Travis Meyerson over there to make the tackle for the Bulldogs. So they played eight back in pass coverage, Kevin, and it worked well.
They played off those receivers, gave them the cushion, but they did a good job of coming up, securing the tackle, 2 yards short of the first down marker, and they'll force the punt. And Spencer Newell will stand at his own 10-yard line. Student crowd that was here has kind of
be
left.
Aware of a fake.
Yep.
Had the fake field goal burn the Bulldogs last week. Ball's at midfield. They snap it back. Punter, rugby style, blast it, let it go. And it hits at the goal line and goes through the end zone for a touchback. 12:08 to play, third quarter, 7-3, Saginaw Valley State. Let's go down to Hank for the first time. And Hank, this Bulldog defense just got to keep playing. They're doing a good job.
Yeah, they are. You know, and in the heat, I hope they didn't go worn out. They've been rotating some guys, using some depth that they have. They've played well so far, did a nice job that time. I don't know what to tell you about the offensive line struggles, fellas. They've been getting stuffed today thoroughly. I don't know if they've even got positive yards rushing on however many attempts, 12 or 15. Just can't get going at all. Salima with that handoff on first down last time just drained for a five-yard loss. Got to figure something out, figure out a way, maybe be creative to get these backs out of the backfield. I don't know, but the offensive line really struggling.
First down and 10 from the 20-yard line. Two receivers to the near side, the wide side of the field. Handed off Salima with some space this time. 25 crashes ahead to the 27-yard line. And that's what we've been looking for.
That's exactly what we've been looking for.
Nicely done on that right side of the line that time.
He followed a couple of linemen that get him the blocks. He was patient enough to find the crease, and he picked up 6-7 yards on that first down play.
That was Lewis and Van Doren on that side. Hey, pancakes for the first time on those blocks from Pancake City. For pancakes and a whole lot more, stop by Pancake City, 2102 North Baltimore in Kirksville. Here's Barr on the keeper this time, trying to get upfield, and he is stuffed and driven back.
Yeah, he's just slow getting that cut upfield as Jacob Morris lost his lid, so he will have to go out for a play, and it's third and one. He might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage, so third and three, I should say. But just slow developing. You've got, when you see those creases, you've got to just hit that hole and explode up the field. You can't try to drag it out because that's exactly what the defense wants you to do.
Saginaw has shown good quickness up front.
Mm-hmm.
Third and three for Truman State.
And they have all of their front four coming back next year. All right, big third and three. Bulldogs trying to keep the drive alive. Barr will roll out, throw on the run, and hits Woods for a first down pickup. And he's picked up and body slammed, but that will still move the sticks.
He is quickly becoming his security outlet on third down, Brass Woods.
That's all right. He's got the size. We mentioned it with Galliard on a play in the first half where he can really box out basically the defensive
back. Well, you mentioned that the size difference that Woods has going against some of these cornerbacks and defensive backs. He has a distinct size advantage, and you need to use him. And good job by Jaden Barr to deliver the pass where Woods can catch it. And Woods was well aware and knew he needed to get past the sticks for his route. He did.
That is just the third first down of the game for the Bulldogs. 10:30 to play third quarter, down 7-3. Fake it, give it to Woods. Crashes into the defensive back and extends near the sticks. It's going to be another first down. 11-yard pickup on the fifth reception of the day for Brass Woods.
After two first downs in the first half, the Bulldogs go back-to-back with first down receptions, both to Brass Woods, as he has already eclipsed his career high in passes caught in a game.
You know, he must like Michigan. His previous best game, you'll remember, in 2015 was in Detroit. Wayne State, he had his touchdown reception there. Here's a give to Salima, and all of a sudden you start working that short passing game, and Salima finds a little bit of room to midfield.
It just makes those linebackers not creep up on the line of scrimmage as much because they know you're going to run. So that underneath passes opens that hole a little bit more when you can put five offensive linemen on four defensive linemen, so there's going to be a mismatch.
Ricky McLaughlin into the receiving corps out of Gurnee, Illinois, a freshman for Woods who needed a breather. Two backs in the backfield, a fake. Barr drops back, throws the out route over the head of the intended receiver, Monty Sharp, but he was well covered by Dylan Dixon, far sideline.
Intended for Monty Sharp, isn't complete.
Third and five now at midfield, right at the 50-yard stripe.
Did not know this when Megan Sharp played for Truman, but their uncles are Shannon and Sterling Sharp, NFL players. Greg Nesbitt, that's what he told me in the preseason. All right, Brass Woods back into the receiving core with Ruffin and Nichols. They'll stack along the hash mark right side of the formation. Salima to the left of Barr. Third down and four from midfield. Four-man rush coming at Barr. They get through. Barr escapes to the outside. On the run. Woods got it. 36. Turns it upfield to the 33-yard line. Bumped out of bounds. Catch number six for Brass Woods.
How was he that wide open? Everyone in the crowd knows you're going to Brass Woods now. He has been your locked-on receiver. The scramble by Barr bought him enough time that it was not within anyone within 5-6 yards of Brass Woods as he caught the ball for a 15-16-yard gain into Saginaw Valley territory at their own 33-yard line.
Out of Melissa, Texas, set out 2 years, and he is making an impact. First down handoff, Salima trying to pick his way through traffic, then bounce back, now wrapped up, whistle blows. We'll see where they spot. It looks like right at the line of scrimmage. Brass Woods, 2 years ago, the 2015, the last season he played, then he set out to, 2015, 14 catches, 131 yards and a touchdown at Wayne State. And he has six catches today, and he has two catches on this drive that have resulted in first downs. Ruffin and Sharp to the left side, two tight end formation, two backs on either side of Barr. Second down and 11. Barr looking near side, now floats it downfield for Sharp, and it's going to be a flag as the pass sails over the top of Sharp. I don't know what the crowd is moaning about. Sharp's shoulder pads are hung outside the jersey.
That's a pretty good indication.
He was grabbed by Joe Newman, the cornerback, near side as Sharp was about to run by him.
Pretty good indication that you got grabbed when you have to put your shoulder pads back into your jersey. As a big pass interference call will move the ball inside, close to the red zone, I believe. 15 yards, they'll mark this one off.
Defense, number 31, automatic first down.
And the Bulldogs will get a fresh set of downs at the 21-yard line.
And that is four penalties for 50 yards. That is an area the Bulldogs have continued to be consistent in from last year, and that is lack of penalties. The Bulldogs led the conference coming into this week in penalties, just three per game. So the first down to the 21 after the markoff, sweeping to the far side, Satula looking for a cut down block, and able to avoid that. Dylan Dixon with a fine open field tackle at the 18-yard line, but a gain of three for the Rolla, Missouri Bulldog, Andy Satula.
Just kept stringing that play out farther, farther. He was with, I couldn't tell who was out with him. Was it Morris that was trying to set the seam for him?
The bowling ball out of Clive, Iowa. Second down and seven. Bulldogs move into the red zone, looking for an offensive touchdown. Here is the fake. Bar on the keeper with space. 15 down to the 12.
Close to a first down.
And the read option worked well. And boy, doesn't a few first downs make a whole world of difference. Well, now all of a sudden, Saginaw's defense on their heels a bit.
Just a couple completed passes has opened up the running game a little bit, which is exactly what you want to do. 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Dogs facing a third and one at the 12-yard line.
You can't have the run-pass option if you don't have the run as a part of it. And certainly the Bulldogs do. Third and less than a yard. Hand it to Salima. First down and more toward the end zone. Touchdown, Truman!
Touchdown, Truman State.
Jordan Salima with his first rushing touchdown of the season from 11 yards out. And the Bulldogs go on top 9-7 with 6:48 to play in the third quarter.
Right up the gut by Jordan Salima. And there's some life.
When he got to the second level, man, did he finish the run over two defenders into the end zone. Scheiderer on to attempt the extra point. Placed down by Barr, and it is good. 10-7. Truman, Hank Jansen wanted the offensive line to step up, and boy, did they do it.
The season, fellas, moved it between the tackles. Excellent job. Barr with the run, Brasswoods with the catch, the penalty downfield. You know, you had him beat. That's a much-needed drive. Had the Saginaw defense on their heels a bit. Took charge up front offensively, opened some space, protected, mixed it up a little bit. Excellent work to take the lead.
And that well blocked all throughout the drive by that front five. Pancake City for pancakes and a whole lot more. Stop by Pancake City. 2102 North Baltimore in Kirksville, where you'll find everything from their famous pancakes to sandwiches and steaks. What kind of a drive was that? We'll get the numbers here in just a moment. Outstanding. Well, it was
plays.
A touchback. It was an 80-yard drive,
80
right?
Yard.
Yeah. Did you say 11 plays?
11 plays, 80 yards, 5:20 off the clock.
Jordan Salima had a nose for the end zone his first 2 years at Truman. As a true freshman, 5 touchdowns. Last year led the team with 9 rushing touchdowns. That, his first rushing touchdown of the season. And just the second offensive touchdown. And it's an onside kick, but it's not going to go far enough.
But they might have touched it.
But they might have touched it, and the Bulldogs have the football. What's the call?
Yes, he is signaling they touched it. He is signaling they touched it, so it should be Truman football.
If the Saginaw player leaves it alone, it does not travel 10 yards.
Defense is on the field for Saginaw Valley. It does not have to go 10 yards if the receiving team touches it, and that's exactly what they did. We'll get the call from our referee
All
here.
Right, no way, Hank, did it go 10 yards, but the up guy came up and touched it, and the Bulldogs catch a break, Hank.
And how far was it downfield when he actually touched it? I couldn't tell.
It was maybe 6-7 yards.
Thank you very much. Excellent work. Here we go. Got the defense reeling. Put them right back on the field. See if you can take it to them again.
And we were talking about a warm day in our defense, Kevin. Now you put their defense right back
on
the field.
Well, and I was just going to say that drive at least gave the Bulldog defense a chance to catch their breath under and get some water. But this is even bonus territory now.
11-play, 80-yard drive that took 5 minutes, 20 seconds. And the Bulldog offense right back on the field with some rhythm at the 42-yard line after the special teams error. Here is the fake. Barr sweeping with space to the outside, across midfield, across the 45 on a cutback. 35, 30, Jaden Barr taking tacklers down to the 25-yard line. The California Pinto on the run. And the Bulldogs are knocking on the door again.
just turned the corner. Brass Woods pulled up. He was didn't get called for a block in the back. He pulled up, allowed Barr to get a few extra yards down to the 25-yard line of Saginaw Valley. What was that pickup?
33 yards for Jaden Barr's previous high this season, 26. Rushed for 100 last week. First down at the 25-yard line, 6:10 to go, third quarter. Handed off to Salima, sweeping to the near side with a lead blocker. Hurdles over the 20 with a defender hanging on, extends to the 17, and then we have a late flag that's sitting at the 15-yard line.
It's going to be a flag on holding on the Bulldog offensive lineman who was downfield trying to block, and that's going to negate that nice run, I believe. Who was Hageman down there that got a hold of a defensive back? The officials are huddling up, talking it over. The Bulldogs are walking backwards, though.
Well, bounce back after.
Yeah.
A mistake. Don't let it kill your drive. But once again, Kevin, we're starting to see plays to the outside. Mm-hmm. All right. Don't just bang your head against the wall consistently. And that sweep looked good with room to the outside for Salima plus a lead blocker.
They're going to pick up this flag.
There's been a healthy discussion.
There is no foul for an illegal block. The block was below the waist. It was downfield. It was not more than 5 yards downfield, which makes it legal.
So Tanner Hageman knew that, and now the officials talk it over, and they're okay with it.
7-yard gain on that first down play by Jordan Salima.
Tanner into the game, senior out of Fenton, Missouri, at a guard spot. So a 7-yard gain sets up the playbook to whatever you want to look at here. At second and three, offensive coordinator Jason Kilday.
Woods in the slot on the far side.
Barr will give it this time to Salima. Maybe a yard.
Jordan Salima.
And the double crunch there from a couple of middle backers. Michael Alexander and Bryce Anderson.
A gain of one on the play.
Third down and a long two. You're in field goal range, but want to get greedy here. Up 10-7 with momentum on your side. 5:26 to play in the third quarter.
Late flag on the far side there.
This could be a sideline warning on the Bulldogs, according to Hank in our ear.
Yep.
Sideline warning against Truman State. No yardage.
So that's the warning. That's the slap on the wrist. Ruffin and Woods will head to the right side of the formation, stacked alongside each other along the rail. Two backs on the backfield on either side of Barr. Two tight end set, low snap. Barr picks it up. Could be a scramble play for a first down. Then we have a late flag come in. Barr is going to be short of a first down by a yard as he improvised.
Holding on Truman. They're going to take it back.
And that couldn't have been a worse executed play for Truman from start to finish.
You know, we hadn't seen the glaring number of bad snaps that we've had the last couple of weeks, but that one was low, and Barr had to pick it up off the turf. And an offensive lineman, I believe it was Chetri, had to hold on to an opponent to try to at least get Barr a chance to get the first down, and he's going to get flagged. They will take the penalty and drive him back.
It's an interesting decision here, but I don't think at fourth and one you can go ahead and risk that, and you want to push him
back out of field goal range, possibly, because you
maybe
got the
not
win,
out, yeah. But certainly would put pressure on your freshman kicker a lot more.
But you have another opportunity for third down to try to pick up the first.
Well, Brass Woods has been the go-to guy for Jaden Barr, but don't forget about your tight end either. C.J. Brown will be set to the right side of the line. Ruffin comes to the near side. Nichols in the slot, far side with Woods. Salim in the backfield. Third down and 12 from the 27-yard line. Barr from the pocket. Has time. Now he's going to scramble to the far side. Drops it off to the running back who released Salima, who makes the catch. Will not have a first down, but picks up some positive yards to help out his kicker, if that's the decision by Greg Nesbitt.
That is the decision.
And he will send out John Scheiderer. That was a good job by Salima. He was a blocker against the rush, and then when Barr broke containment, Kevin, he released.
Got drilled over at the sideline, but again, picked up that positive yardage, and this will now be a 35, 36-yard field goal attempt. He hit from 32 earlier. He's in to a little bit of a breeze.
From the right hash mark, the freshman kicker from Springfield splits the uprights. He's 4 for 4 and gradually extending his distance from 21 opening week to 27 last week to 32 in the first half to a 36-yarder, and the Bulldogs go up 13-7.
Take advantage of that onside kick blunder. Bulldogs stay on the field, get their defense some rest. They've had the ball for the majority of this quarter. Now 4:18 left. That was a win.
And we'll be back for the kickoff in 30 seconds.
Now that Jacob has finished high school, we're exploring our options, but we just haven't found the right fit yet.
Well, Hannah just finished her first year at Moberly Area Community College and loves it. Jake could knock out his general education classes or enroll in a career technical program at less than half the cost.
Oh, well, they do have a Columbia location on the business loop, and the Moberly campus is only a half hour away.
He could go to MACC for 2 years, then transfer to a four-year college, or get a work-ready certificate and go straight into a career.
Either way, MACC sounds like a smart start.
For that started with an onside kick that was not going to go the 10 yards but was touched illegally by a Saginaw Valley State player. The Bulldogs recovered. Five plays, 39 yards, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. The big play was a 33-yard run by Jaden Barr. Scheiderer with a 36-yard field goal. Roller with a kickoff. King will catch at the 2-yard line. Between the numbers and the hash mark, he is tackled by Siegel in the open field at the 24-yard line.
Injured Bulldog.
We have an injured Bulldog player down.
23.
Middle of the field.
23 is
Dylan Weiss. Backup free safety from O'Fallon. And Michelle will head out to help him out.
So you've basically given your defense a seven, nearly 8 minute rest on that sideline after playing almost half of the first half, almost two thirds of the first half, almost 20 minutes on the field, where they only gave up 7 points. Now they should be a well rested defense coming back onto this field.
This injury timeout brought to you by Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute in Kirksville. Has served as the lead team physician for the Truman Bulldogs for nearly 20 years. When you want the best care possible, see Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute in Kirksville. Hank, we haven't talked enough about this freshman kicker. He has looked good in his early start to his career.
I would agree. Brad seems confident, comfortable, gets up and knocks him through that one a little bit to his left, but had plenty of juice on it, knocked it down. Looks like Mr. Bulldog player not putting any weight on that ankle as he comes off, but I would agree, Brad. Young kicker, got a little bit of leg to him. Wind's been swirling down here a little bit this afternoon. The only thing is that breeze, it's kept it from being really hot on the turf, but a nice job and good job to capitalize a little bit. Boy, they're carrying him off almost. No weight on that right ankle.
So that's no good. Dylan Weiss injured on special teams. You'll remember Taylor Manus broke a bone in his foot opening week in the secondary, and so we hope for a quick recovery for Weiss. Here's the Cardinals offense out there. Pump fake and go. Deep ball down the sideline for King. Knocked away by Knight, and
what
then in the middle of the air, King nearly plucked it out of the air, but disrupted enough by D. Knight to force an incompletion.
D. Knight had a great idea where that pass was going, made an adjustment to his coverage, and went up and almost took that ball away, almost had the pick. As you said, the receiver almost picked it right back, but it was still a good play by D'Anthony Knight to go up and disrupt that pass play. That is a textbook pass breakup.
The Bulldog offense ran 16 offensive plays while the Saginaw offense sat on the sideline. Second down and 10 after the incompletion. Conklin will hand it off. Oh, the running back peeled away from the middle awfully quickly that time on the bounce out, and the Bulldog posse able to round him up for a loss on the far side. Pick a Bulldog.
Edwards, Meyerson is the one that was
Floyd
out there to force him. Floyd to give credit with the tackle.
Yeah, I think Jake actually led it. The Rockbridge Bruin got over there, but there were five Bulldog white shirts as Johnson seemed to give up on the run early in the middle. And that ends up being a loss of two. Third and 12. Bulldogs have an excellent chance at a three and out right now to get their offense back on the field. They will check in Swope and DeVecchi and go with a three-man front. We'll see if that means blitz from defensive coordinator Kellen Nesbitt, or they'll drop into coverage. Four-man rush. Conklin from the pocket, wrapped up by Reeves and going down. The Arizona Sackmaster with his second sack of the game. And now Reeves gives up a bit hobble. Kevin, it's just amazing. He's not your big defensive guy.
No.
He's 5'8", but he's got leverage. He's 223, and he's got that quickness.
Well, and that looked like a wrestling move. He wrapped around that tackle and spun around where he was able to get to the feet, and like a wrestler, when you're going for a takedown, once you latch on, you don't let up, and that's exactly what he did. And that forces a big three and out.
Here's the punt. Can Newell make the catch? He can at the 40. 45, midfield, across the Saginaw 45, hurtling up to the 41-yard line. Good discipline on the blocking. Everybody stayed off backs and yet created enough of a seam for Newell to produce a positive return. They're going to say he got that football all the way to the 40. That checks out 42, about where we called it earlier. So that's about a 17-yard punt return. And Reeves now moves into third place all by himself on the career sack list with 25. More importantly, he sets up the Bulldog offense again in Saginaw territory. 2:48 to play in the third. Truman up 13-7 with the momentum in the third quarter. Fake it to Salima. Shoots it outside Ruffin. First down, 30-yard line. Drop there, pickup of 12.
Well, both defensive backs went with Brass Woods. That left Ruffin wide open in the flat. He had to reach for the ball a little bit. It was just thrown wide, but he did a good job of catching it for a first down, moves it to the 30-yard line. That's where Woods now is being the factor because they know that he's been a top target.
Absolutely, good point. Woods just became Ruffin's best friend because he had all sorts of space to make that first down grab. Ball at the 30, and Saginaw doesn't know. And now we got a flag. Flies before the play. We've got too many Bulldogs on the field, apparently. Count them up, Kevin.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
They had too many players break the huddle. Maybe they didn't have them on the
No, they were on the field. C.J. Brown goes off.
All right, so our official was right on top of it.
That is the referee's job. Referee and umpire count the offensive players.
So it'll be first and 15. Into the game for the Bulldogs, Ian Ronan in the slot position. Two backs in the backfield. No tight end this time. Fake it to Salima, outside to Woods, turns it up at the 30, breaks a tackle, crashes ahead across the 25 with tacklers up his back, down to the 23-yard line. Woods with his seventh grab of the season. Hank Jansen, I don't know how this one's going to play out, but if we win this game, Brass Woods is your MVP, isn't he?
You know, he's kind of been lurking around and kind of close to some stuff, but he has gotten himself open. He's clearly got confidence. The quarterback does. See, that one delivered nicely. The others he put up high. He went up and got him some yards after the catch. Done a very nice job.
Second down and four. Handed off to Salima. Juke move at the line of scrimmage and then tries to get what he can, but he is not going to break the bear claw grasp of Patrick Moriarty, a 288-pound defensive tackle.
Third and four at the 24-yard line. As this third quarter clock is being milked away, under a minute now left.
Bulldogs, 4 of 11 on third down. Third down and four. Handed to Satula, sweeping the outside with blockers in space. First down and more. Oh, the Bulldogs caught Saginaw thinking pass or something up the middle. A sweep by Andy Satula had Morris out in front. And that's a first down pickup. into the red zone. Mark him out at the 17-yard line.
First and 10 from the 17.
And Andy gets to that edge pretty quickly.
Yep.
Satula had a monster game when he was at Rolla High School against Hillcrest. He had 46 carries for 436 yards. That's one game, 436. Backs on either side of Barr, twin receivers to the left side. Barr will fake it, keep it, up the middle. 15 extends to the 13-yard line.
It'll take us to the end of the third quarter. What a dominant quarter by this Bulldogs offense. We can say that for once for the first time this year. Aug score, offensive touchdown, get a field goal, score 10 points, take a 13-7 lead.
15 minutes on the clock. Can the Bulldogs finish on the road for their first victory of the season? We'll come back in 1 minute on Superstation Crest, KRES Moberly, and CentralMoInfo.com.
Up early or out late, stop by Pancake City in Kirksville and get yourself something to eat. From the famous pancakes to a biscuit and gravy special, a sandwich for lunch, and maybe a steak for dinner. Pancake City has almost anything you could want, including appetizers and dessert. Sign up for Pancake City's frequent diner program and start earning points for free or discounted menu items. It's easy and can only save you money in today's economy. Pancake City, where the slogan is, where breakfast and a whole lot more.
Cardiac rehabilitation at the Wellness Center at Samaritan Hospital is the solution for your heart. The Wellness Center is designed to optimize a cardiac patient's physical and social functioning. Patients at the Wellness Center are helped to safely reach and maintain their optimal level of activity. A doctor's referral is necessary for admission to the Wellness Center. Visit them online at smhmo.org.
After three quarters of play, Bulldogs 10 first down, Saginaw 8, Bulldogs 89 yards rushing, Saginaw 60, Bulldogs 128 through the air, Saginaw 122. Plays 45 for Truman, 217, Saginaw 42 for 182. Time of possession, four more minutes for Truman, and it's all because of what happened in the third quarter.
Absolutely what's happened in the third quarter. Bulldogs came in with only two first downs at half and had 70 yards of total offense. Now over 200 yards of total offense, and they have 10 first downs. Second and seven to start the third, fourth quarter.
Two backs in the backfield, and from the pistol. Fake it to Satula. Barr looking toward the end zone, now is scrambling. To the far side, will tuck it. 15, down to the 13,
a late flag. It's a hold on Chetri is what it's going to be. The referee was just trying to figure out how he can get it out of his pants pocket. He took forever to throw that flag, and I think it's the right call.
Well, this will hurt. This. Because this flag is at the 22 as well.
Whitling. Offense number 59, 10 yards, previous spot, second down.
And it opened up that far sideline, maybe because of the hold, for Barr to scramble out of there and pick up positive yards to the 13, but that'll be erased. Actually, they're marking it.
Well, see, that's we get into this discussion on Friday nights. Friday night, the penalty is worse because it's from the spot of the foul. In college, in pros, it's from the previous line of scrimmage. So you can hold behind the line of scrimmage. It's still going to be 10 yards from the previous spot, where at high school, it's the double whammy. It's behind the line plus 10 yards.
Twin receivers to the left side. Two backs on either side of Barr, and they fake it to Satula. Running pass to Ruffin in the slot, 15, to the 10. Down inside the 10 to the 6-yard line. First and goal for the Bulldogs. Ruffin wide open in the slot.
And a good job by Ruffin. He thought about coming to the near side and try to get more yardage this way. Instead, he cut it up the field and got as much as he can. He knew he was inside the 10-yard line. He got down to the 6. So a big pickup there after the penalty on second down. And the Truman Bulldogs are on the 6th-yard line as the fourth quarter clock continues to roll.
And all of a sudden, the third, the run-pass option is finally coming to form for the Bulldogs. Saginaw doesn't know which way Jaden Barr is going to go. Two receivers to the near side of the field. A back on either side of Barr. From the pistol, will hand it off. Satula sweeping to the near side is ridden down right at the line of scrimmage by David Still. When he is not blocked at all, or if he can get off cleanly, he is going to chase down even the skill players. After three quarters, Barr, 14-20 through the air, 128. Brass Woods, 7 catches, 88 yards. Jaden Barr, leading ball carrier, 7 carries, 46 yards. Salima, 15 for 31 after three quarters.
Look for Barr in the slot on the far side of the field right here.
Second and goal from the 6. Low snap handle. Give it off Salima. Cuts it up and into the end zone. Touchdown, Truman. Second rushing touchdown for Jordan Salima. And the Bulldogs go up 19-7 with 16 unanswered points in the second half.
That time, Jordan Salima bounced to the outside. No one was able to contain him, and he rushed into the end zone for his second score of the day. The Dogs' offense is now rolling here in the second half.
And the Kickapoo kicker is on. Scheiderer to try to make it a 13-point game. Placed down by Barr, and the kick is right down Broadway. 20-7, Truman. 6-yard touchdown run by Jordan Salima. Kickoff in 1 minute on Crest and CentralMoInfo.com.
No matter what you have going on today, make sure you set aside some time for this very special once-in-a-lifetime event. It's the Moberly Motors Grand Opening and 75th Anniversary Celebration happening today from 11 to 3. It's two celebrations in one to introduce the public to our brand-new state-of-the-art facility and to celebrate 75 years and four generations of tradition right here in Moberly. It's fun for the whole family with free food and drinks, tons of great prizes and giveaways, classic cars on display, a caricature artist, multiple radio stations live on site, tours of our all-new facility, and more. We couldn't have been in business for 75 years without you. And we built this new facility to serve you better. So what better way to celebrate both than to have a party for all of you? Come join the fun here at Moberly Motors during our grand opening and 75th anniversary celebration happening today from 11 to 3.
8-play, 42-yard drive, 4 minutes, 32 seconds. Time of possession for the Bulldogs is now a plus 5-18. 20-7, Truman. Roller to kick it off from the 35. He's going to chip this one short. Coming up to make the catch is Casey Williams. Tries to get to the outside, 25, runs out of real estate as Satula was there to take him out at the 30-yard line. Jordan Salima with two touchdown runs today. That one a 6-yarder, Hank, and all of a sudden the Bulldogs have that run-pass option going where they've really got Saginaw Valley's defense off balance.
They've done a good job on the outside blocking on Satula's third down conversion at the other end. Excellent job by Nichols out there, the wide receiver, the fullback out there, sealed in, allowed him to get the first. This play looked to me like Saginaw was just lost. There was nobody there. One kick out block and one inside seal and nobody there.
Quick pass near side. Edmondson bobbled it into the air, and that allowed J.D. Hurd to get into his gut with the stick, and it's an incompletion.
We've had a 5-minute, 20-second drive, onside kick, 2-minute, 30-second drive, a 3-and-out by Saginaw, and then another 4:32 off the clock. And ball that should have been caught on first down here by Saginaw is dropped.
All of a sudden, Kevin, it's turned into a pretty pleasant afternoon for us up here.
That sun's got
we had the sun right into our face, and man, it was hot up here, but now you've got a little bit of a breeze and the sun's to our back. And the Bulldogs are rolling. That helps too. Here's a pass to the outside. One-on-one, and it'll be a tackle made by Meyerson as he had to sprint to catch up to Dominic Fuseli, who was isolated far side. Turns out to be an 8-yard pickup. And boy, this becomes a pretty big play for the Saginaw Valley State offense, 3rd and 2 at their 38.
They need this first down, 1, to give their defense a rest, and 2, they need points trailing by 13.
12:39 left. Bulldogs load up the front box here. The back of the backfield, Nate McCrary. Conklin will come up to the line of scrimmage to bark out instructions. Now gets back into the pistol. Will hand it off to McCrary, and he found a crease to the right side. First down, outside 45-yard line, out of bounds, driven out by Fischel.
That run is good enough for a
46-yard line. Well blocked at the point of attack, right side of the line. They are minus one of their offensive linemen. Brendan O'Brien went out with an injury in the first half. So they've had to retool up front. Four-man front for the Dogs, first down and 10. Saginaw Valley in their red tops, white pants. Here's the handoff. McCrary got him nowhere. Drugged down from behind by Spencer Chipley. The junior Billiken from St. Louis makes a tackle for loss.
Brought down by number 95, Spencer Chipley.
44-yard line. Chipley will check out after making the stop. Neisler will check out. They'll go with more of their speed rushers, anticipating a pass play on second down. And this may be Galliard time. He has been quiet. Their All-American receiver here to the near side with Hurd. Conklin from the pocket. Long ball, far sideline, overshoots Edmondson. Woods had the coverage about the 40-yard line.
Galliard was here on the near side as J.D. Hurd had him, but he never even looked this near side direction. You know, at some point, they've got to try to go for their all-conference receiver.
J.D. is 5'7", and Galliard is 6'3", and put together well, 205. Third down and 12. Sam Reeves not in the game if we're wondering about the pass rush. Conklin from the pocket. Crossing route to Galliard. Two Bulldogs there. He's able to elude them for a few extra yards, but it's going to be fourth down. That's almost one of those plays where you set up two plays to get the necessary yardage, already thinking fourth down. He's tackled at the 47.
Kicking team just stayed on the bench. They knew that they were going to go for it on fourth down here.
It's like 3 yards short. They need three.
Reeves, as you said, is not in.
He came off gimpy after that last sack. I'm a little worried he may be dinged up. Two receivers to the near side.
Some confusion by Saginaw Valley. 5 seconds on the play clock.
10:29 left in the game. 20-7 Truman, fourth and three. Keeper by Conklin, the quarterback. Well designed and a first down. The jet sweep action, the receiver in motion, got the attention of the Bulldogs, and Conklin faked it and kept it up the middle for a first down to the Truman 43-yard line.
Reeves does have his helmet off. He's sitting on the Bulldog bench on that far sideline right now. Michelle Boyd looking at his ankle.
First down play coming. Two tight end set for the Cardinals. Conklin straight back to throw. Steps at the pocket. Deep ball down the middle of the field for Edmondson. Overthrown. Hurd had coverage at the goal line. Edmondson maybe with a step. Conklin overthrew him. They went for the home run on first down. .9:44 to play fourth quarter. Bulldog football also brought to you by Capital Paving and Construction. Also, Moberly Area Community College and Columbia Orthopedic Group. Second and 10. Here's a handoff. McCrary. He is forced back into the backfield. And he's going to get to the edge and able to cut it up for positive yardage as DeVecchi was taken down.
So was Siegel.
DeVecchi's jersey is all whacker jawed. You can't even see his 12.
Third down and six from the Bulldog 37-yard line, 38-yard line. The clock needs to run, and the officials indicating to do so.
Twin receivers to each side. Bulldogs show blitz. Yackel and Edwards, the middle backers for the Bulldogs now. Conklin may be changing the play. Running back motions out of the backfield. They throw it to him, and the Bulldogs got him. Open field tackle by Siegel for a loss. Brings up fourth down.
Wrapped up immediately by number one, Jordan Siegel.
It'll be fourth down and eight. Big time play by Siegel. His second tackle for loss this season. And the clock is ticking while the Cardinals decide on this fourth down play.
Fourth down.
They have to get to the 33-yard line. Truman has scored 17 unanswered points in the second half. Conklin drops to throw it. Rush comes through. Near side. Got a receiver caught at the 25 out of bounds. Dominic Fuseli with a good catch. Good job by Conklin to hang in there and deliver the football.
He was under pressure and delivered a pass right where the receiver could catch it. And they convert on that fourth down, down to the Bulldog 24-yard line.
Jake Floyd got pressure right up the middle. Fuseli with the grab, out of bounds, 24-yard line, keeps the drive alive. Down 20-7 to the Cardinals. Flip it outside to Fuseli. And he's able to get outside the numbers down to the 16-yard line. So good pickup on first down.
Woods and Siegel with the tackle.
Tackled by number one, Jordan Siegel, and number eight, Lawrence Woods.
John Sheeler will check in for the Bulldogs at an end spot.
Gain of nine on the play, second down and one.
First time the Dogs' defense has been tested in the second half. Galliard is in the slot. Edmondson, the wide receiver, to the near side. They'll motion the tight end across the formation. Conklin drops to throw it. Looking for the end zone. Got his receiver, and he dropped it.
Wow. Wow.
Their All-American receiver had it go right through his hands, open in the end zone. A break for the Dogs.
He had space. He had created separation. That ball right between the wickets at eye level. Third and two.
How many drops have they had, Kevin? At least a handful today, I would say. They had another one that was open field that could have had six on the end of it. Third and one. They'll keep it on the ground and try to move the sticks, and the Bulldogs get in the backfield. Good power by Jeremiah Johnson, though.
And Dogs are signaling that there was a fumble. They're pointing that they have the football, but the official is not giving it to him.
I don't think he's got the first down.
I don't think
down.
He is either. I thought he was shy of the
15-yard line.
The knee
must have been down when he extended the football.
It's going to be fourth and one again.
You know, the other thing about this, even if they get it, they're going to have to spend more time just to get this first down. Fourth down and less than a yard. Conklin goes to the gun. He's not going to be under center. Johnson is his running back in the backfield. Two receivers near side. See if the Dogs can penetrate and stuff this run. Now they're going to roll the pocket, and they're going to throw it. It is caught. Galliard makes the catch, but a quick tackle by Knight limits the gain. It will be a first down and another fourth down conversion for the Cardinals to stay alive.
But that clock continues to roll. That catch was made inbounds. Clock rolls, 6:30 left here. Cardinals need two touchdowns with this 13-point lead by the Bulldogs. So whatever happens here, milk as much clock as you off, then your offense is going to have to come up with a big drive, time-consuming drive.
First down from the 12-yard line. Galliard goes in motion. And they're going to throw the flag.
A false start.
Blow the play dead.
Another thing that has killed Saginaw Valley is just the penalties that they have had here this afternoon. They had one on an unsportsman or on a late hit after the play on a third down that moved instead of a third and inches to a third and 15 earlier in the first half. That clock will roll again with 6 minutes left here.
Edmondson to the right side, Galliard to the left side, which is the short side of the field. A tight end to the backfield as a lead blocker. Galliard will motion left to right. Conklin will take it and hand it off to Johnson. Sidesteps a tackler at the line of scrimmage to get to the second level. And he picks up.
That's all right.
A nice
game
to the
8-yard
line.
That's, you know, a running play, picks up 5 yards, but that the clock continues to move, and there is no sense of urgency by the Saginaw Valley offense to get up to the line of scrimmage and run something. Now another, you know, 35 seconds is going to be taken off this clock.
The crowd getting a little restless.
Yeah, I think so too.
With the time that's ticking too. Second down. Ball at the 8. Conklin looking at the end zone. Now is flush from the pocket. DeVecchi in pursuit. Conklin loses out on real estate as he finds a far boundary and just turfs it.
Third down.
as Reed McBroom was coming hard at him from his linebacker spot, and it's going to be third down.
And McBroom was just playing a safety position there. He was holding the goal line to make sure that that ball wasn't cut upfield, and once the quarterback cut across the line of scrimmage, he knew he had no place to go, so McBroom zeroed in on him and forced him out of bounds.
The only Saginaw touchdown, a five-yard run by the quarterback at the 12:33 mark of the second quarter, and they're going to spend a timeout.
This is a timeout with the clock stopped by Saginaw Valley. They realize they need to get points, but it's also third down, and so they're going to burn a 40-second time ticket to set up this play.
We'll take a 30-second timeout as well. Back to Michigan right after this.
We have a new physician at Columbia Orthopedic Group. Please welcome Dr. Tom Alito to our team. Dr. Alito is well known in mid-Missouri and specializes in joint replacement of the hip and knee. For an appointment with Dr. Alito or any one of our physicians, call us at 573-443-2402. You can also make an appointment online at our website, columbiaorthogroup.com. Columbia Orthopedic Group, we are the difference.
Five ten left in regulation time. Truman on top of Saginaw Valley State, 20-7. And the Cardinals have a third down from the 8. They need 5 yards. They've got to get to the 3.
And they need 2 touchdowns. The field goal does them no good at this point in the game.
Yeah, so it's 2-down territory. And they've already converted a couple of fourth downs on this drive. Trips to the right side, the wide side of the field. Edmondson, single receiver, near side. Johnson, the back of the backfield. Conklin takes the snap, drops and throw it. Big rush from DeVecchi. It's a screen pass near side to Edmondson, and he runs out of real estate near side as Woods was able to get him out of bounds. He had a lot of blockers near side. I don't know if it's a first down or not.
Close.
I think they've already indicated it's a first down. Ball is right at the 3 where they needed to get.
And they are signaling fourth down.
Clock is running.
Now the official, there's some confusion on where this ball is spotted at. And the officials on the far sideline say it's fourth down. The referee was signaling first down. And now they'll get together. I think it's fourth down. It's not going to change what Saginaw is going to call here. It is fourth down. Fourth and one again.
All right, so that it changes everything. You get a penetration, you get a stop in the backfield, and you stuff their drive and maybe in the game.
We have a large huddle as 6 of the 7 officials are in together talking about this. They are signaling to Coach Nesbitt it is fourth down. And he wants just an explanation of what's going on.
Of course, the other part of this equation, to the detriment of Truman, if it is fourth down, is the clock has stopped right now while we have all this discussion.
But it will wind on the ready for play.
Yeah, but I mean, you can at least get ready to run the play. I mean, if I'm Saginaw,
that's a free coupon.
I'd be getting my play ready. What a mess down there, Hank. What are you hearing down there?
I'm not sure what's going on. And clearly the Saginaw coaches talking to the officials pulled them over. The
trying to determine if it's fourth down or first down.
You know, that would be it. It was third and 5 from the 8. This ball is spotted at the
three. That is short of the line to gain.
He's just outside the 3-yard line.
How far it is for
I thought he got down inside there. I don't know, Brad. But the football's definitely outside the 3rd yard line. It was 3rd and 5 at the 8, so they're 6 inches or 8 inches short of a first down, I guess.
And the referee was
about it some more. I'm not sure if
the referee was emphatic.
I play live. I was across. I thought he got inside the 3-yard line.
The Bulldogs
headed to the sideline now to talk about it. Apparently, an official's timeout, and they're going to talk about it. But they've definitely got that ball spotted outside the 3, and they're going to measure now.
He was in fact. Well, now
you
they
guys
are
might have had
measure.
A better look at it where the actual went out of bounds, but I thought he was down to close to the 2 yard line. I don't know.
It would be embarrassing if this is a first down, but it's not.
Well,
it's definitely short, not
by
even close.
Further than I thought. Half yard, maybe a little more.
I don't think the official can stretch his arms that far.
Almost looks like they need close get closer to the 2 than the 3 yard line. Yeah, the official was emphatic, and he said, "We do not need to measure. It is short of the line again." And then they finally did get a measurement out there to show Coach Collins how far they had to get. So they've got another big fourth down.
You can request those measurements on grass fields. Turf fields are fairly accurate.
Fourth and inches for the Cardinals.
So the Dogs' defense spent a timeout.
I don't think they charged the Dogs a timeout. It was just a measurement timeout.
Okay,
so
right.
They have all three timeouts.
You're right. Fourth down and less than a yard. Conklin takes the snap, fakes it to the motion man, and he scrambles into the end zone, and there's a flag late.
There is a flag on the play.
Conklin has his second rushing touchdown as it stands.
Well, there's a Saginaw Valley player with his helmet off, so that might mean hands to the face against the Bulldogs. The officials get together again to talk about this.
4:41 on the clock. It's going to be a 3 yard touchdown run for Conklin. And they're saying hands to the face on Truman. Here comes your call. Or maybe not. So Lusick will come on to attempt the extra point. Three-yard touchdown run.
Hands to the helmet. 93 defense. That could be the try or the kickoff. Saginaw Valley has chosen to have that enforced on the kickoff. Number 68 may remain in the game for the try. The result of the play is a touchdown.
Well, that's going to make the onside kick a little bit more interesting.
It'll bring the onside kick definitely into play. It might have been a question mark beforehand. I think it becomes an even greater chance now with the penalty. First things first, the extra point. Connor Lusick, a left-footed kicker, is able to convert, and we have a 20-14 game. Truman on top. Saginaw Valley steps up to the challenge. They had to have a touchdown drive. They overcame three fourth down plays to do it, and we may have an onside kick coming up in 30 seconds on Crest and CentralMoInfo.com.
Now more than ever, businesses are looking for employees who know how to collect, analyze, and interpret large amounts of data. They're often asking existing employees to acquire those skills to advance in their careers. Truman State University's Graduate Certificate in Data Science is a fully online accredited program that can help put you in the driver's seat when it comes to data analysis. Visit initiative.truman.edu/data for more information or call 660-785-5384.
The ball will be teed up at midfield. Even if you fail on your onside kick, Kevin, you're not tremendously hurt by field position, and thus I think the Bulldogs are expecting, as they trot out their good hands team, as they are ready for an onside kick, and I am too. From the 50, the penalty changes everything. It's the punter who will handle it, and he doesn't. He goes ahead and kicks it through the end zone.
Interesting.
And so they're going to put it in the hands of their defense. There's still a lot of time left. Hank, I just thought with the penalty that that would go ahead and set up the onsides.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed.
I just thought with the penalty that would set up the onsides kick.
Yeah, I would agree, perhaps. I thought they had taken two, gentlemen. I thought they only had one left, obviously. Which certainly would be a factor here. 4:41, you can't just sit on it. I'm not saying get reckless.
This might be the biggest.
You'd like to be able to grind out a first down or two, but to play to win this thing.
Well, and this might be the biggest drive of the year for this Bulldog offense.
It starts with two backs in the backfield. Two receivers near side, handed off to Salima. Able to pick up a couple yards to the 27. And Jim Collins will have to think about when and if he wants to use a timeout. There's an injury, rather, Salima just slow to get up. Helped up by one of his offensive linemen. Brass Woods comes out of the game. He's been a little bit hobbled on one of his catches. This Bulldog team's been dinged up a little bit here today on the road. Reeves hobbled off. We saw an injury to Weiss. Second down and 8. 4 minutes exactly. And counting. Barr will give it off to Suleiman, and he is forced deep into the backfield and tackled by their outstanding defensive end, David Still.
Now a timeout will be used by Saginaw Valley.
I mean, Still is a tremendous athlete.
Yes.
6'3", 220 pounds, and we have a timeout. We're back in 30 seconds on Crest and CentralMoInfo.com.
It's free. Capital Paving and Construction is a full-service asphalt paving company that includes asphalt repair, sealing, coating, resurfacing, paving, and maintenance. And here's the free part. Capital Paving and Construction offers a free estimate of your project and strive to accomplish it on a timely basis. They work with your schedule and your budget. From heavy highway construction and DOT paving to residential asphalt, count on the quality of Capital Paving and Construction in Central Missouri. With offices in Columbia, Jefferson City, and beyond. Call today for your estimate or go to CapitalMo.com.
Well, the Bulldogs have third down and 15. And the crowd is making noise for their Cardinal defense. Woods will head to the far side. Nichols in the slot. Ruffin here to the short side of the field. C.J. Brown is your tight end. Third down and 15. Barr will throw from the pocket. Fade route for Ruffin, and he is blanketed by Donnell Alexander. Couldn't get any separation here to the far side, and that also kills the clock with 3:45 left.
Now you've got a lot of time on this clock. Your Bulldog defense is going to have to defend. You need a good kick here by Brock Roller. Remember, they had a punt return called back because of a block in the back earlier in this game. They're going to set up at their own, the returners on their own 35-yard line.
Snap is good. Kick is away end over end. It should hit the turf and run. It's at the 35. It rolls to the 30 and down to the 27, 26-yard line. 14 yards on the roll. And Roller did his job. The return man was too deep. The Cardinals have to have a touchdown. That's the good thing. Field goal doesn't do them any good. They've got one timeout. But they've got a chance. I'll give Coach Collins credit. Nice call on kicking off. His Cardinal defense got a three and out. Yep. The only thing that went wrong with his theory is Roller got the boot away and he got the roll. So he really kind of helped flip the field all the way back to the 26. Here's your first down play. Handed off to Johnson. Good tackle by Siegel behind the line. He did not let Johnson get to the outside. Wrapped up both legs. His second tackle for loss this season of the clock runs at 3:17. Again, no Sam Reeves. Apparently out with some kind of an injury.
He does have his helmet on, standing at the 42-yard line. So
second down and 11. Tight end shifts back and forth. Conklin to throw it. And it is caught by that tight end and chased down immediately by Nadel. It's a short pickup of 3 yards.
Inbounds, too. Inbounds.
To the 28. Clock is ticking at 2:44. Good pressure from both ends. Devecki and Swope that time. Third and 8. Edmondson to the right side. Twin receivers here to the left side. That's where their All-American Galliard is. Conklin is looking that way. Throws it. Galliard with the catch. First down at the 40-yard line. Three Bulldogs bring him down. That'll stop the clock with 2:18.
And the pass rush was there just a half second late. They got to the quarterback and drilled him, but he was able to deliver the ball. Clock continues to run with 2:10 left here in the game. Ball at the 41-yard line of Saginaw Valley.
This game has been without a turnover. Here is a handoff to Johnson, and he is able to shed the tackle attempt of Fischel, but Fischel able to string it out enough that Knight is there on pursuit. Johnson does get out of bounds to stop the clock with 1:56 left. No gain on the play. And again today, the Bulldog run defense has been good. Bulldogs seemingly with each play shuttling different players in to keep them fresh. Knight is over here with Galliard on the short side of the field. Ball from the 40. Conklin drops to throw it. Fade route to Galliard, and there was Knight with a little chuck at the 5-yard marker, and he just kept Galliard off his route, and the ball sails incomplete to bring up third down.
And Yackel, in from his linebacker position, just put enough pressure on the quarterback that he had to deliver the ball maybe earlier than he wanted to. Third and 10.
A sunny, warm afternoon in Michigan. Bulldogs trying to notch their first win of the season, almost 700 miles away from home. Up 20-14, 1:51 left, fourth quarter. Third down and 10 from the 41-yard line of Saginaw Valley. Conklin drops to throw it. Blitz is on. Throws it incomplete, and getting into the face of Conklin was DeVecchi. Well-timed blitz by Coach Nesbitt there forces the errant throw. And it is fourth down and 10.
Dogs have brought pressure on every play to at least make the quarterback Conklin have to be cognizant of what's coming at him. He's not getting to step back there and pick away the Bulldogs' secondary, so I'm assuming that they'll bring pressure again as three receivers go to the far side of the field, tight end here on the near side.
The Bulldogs have a chance to wrap up a win if they can get a stop. Here comes the blitz. Conklin steps up and throws. It is complete. 40, 35, 33-yard line. Edmondson with the grab, middle of the field.
And Woods, Lawrence Woods saved a touchdown at the 32-yard line. He was just able to get enough of the receiver to bring him down.
Conklin really hanging in the pocket. Clock running, 90 seconds left. Cardinals have one timeout left. Conklin drops to throw it. They got the screen pass outside to Edmondson, and he's dragging a tackler across the 20 down to the 18.
They're going to wind the clock inbounds.
That was a good call by the
tunnel screen.
Cardinals. This Bulldog defense may be wearing out now.
You may need a timeout.
The Dogs dominated the third quarter, but the Cardinals have had the time of possession in the fourth quarter. 1:10 and counting. Down to the 18-yard line. Conklin drops a throw, just a three-man rush, and it's going to be Sheeler with the sack. The three-man rush beat the five up front, and a sack for Sheeler. And a timeout taken by the Cardinals with 58 seconds to play. What a huge play to stop the momentum for the moment.
And he was being held as he was coming around the corner. Makes the big, big sack. With 58 seconds left, makes Saginaw Valley burn their final timeout.
Sheeler had 5.5 sacks his sophomore year. He didn't have a sack last year, but boy, he got a big one there. And the two teams will talk about it with 58 seconds to play. The Bulldogs are up 20-14.
This timeout benefits the Bulldogs just as much as it does Saginaw right now. It gives them a chance to catch their breath.
What do you think, Hank?
Well, I don't know, a big sack right there. You know, a couple of times tackle the guy and kind of strip it. Gave him 10, 15 extra yards on those two plays, but nothing you can do but dig in. You know he's probably going to throw it, although it wouldn't surprise me to see the quarterback trying to bunt it himself. No timeouts, 58 seconds. Second and 16, you got to dig in and suck it up. The last 10 minutes, this Bulldog defense been on the field a long time. Gave up a long drive for the score, and here we are. Somebody suck it up and make a play.
No turnovers in this game. Boy, Truman could use one now. The sack puts the Cardinals back at the 23-yard line, so second down and 15. Three receivers to the right side, the wide side of the field. Football on the left hash mark. Cardinals going right to left as we see it. Now a motion man across the formation. Conklin drops the throw. They'll rush five. Conklin steps up through the pocket. 15 down to the 10-yard line. First down or
no,
close
third
to
down.
It?
Third down. They're 3 yards short. Clock continues to run.
No timeouts for Saginaw Valley State.
40 seconds.
39. Ball at the 10. Third down and two. 35 seconds and counting. Conklin takes the snap, rolling, throwing, diving attempt, no good. 28 seconds left. Fourth down coming. Fiselli laid out at the 8 and couldn't haul it in.
Intended for Dominic Fiselli.
And we come to another fourth down.
Completed three the last drive, one already this drive.
And Sam Reeves comes back in to speed rush. Swope will come out. Reeves has two sacks today. Went out after the second one with an apparent injury. He's back in. Fourth down and two. Here's your play of the game. 28 seconds left from the 10-yard line. Fake it to the motion man. It's Conklin up the middle. He is tackled at the two, but he has a first down. That will stop the clock at 22. Mark it at the three. Truman tried to substitute, and then they had to use a timeout to avoid a penalty. 19 seconds left, and the ball is between
the
2 and the 3 yard line. Hank, they have made good work of that play with the motion man and their quarterback.
He's done a good job, Brad. Let the guy go by and then find a little crease. You know, the scramble play was huge for him. He really wasn't intending to run, but we've seen him get up right in the middle of the things. And again, right there, they stuck him. Good job to hang on to the ball. Here you go. You got a couple of plays, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come again.
Well, the question is, do you run the ball, Kevin, or do you throw the ball without any timeouts?
You've got enough time with 19 seconds to try a run. You do have enough time to get back, reset, spike the ball. It's first down.
Johnson in the backfield with Conklin. Snaps it. Conklin throws it. Fade route for Galliard, and he made the catch for a touchdown and the lead for Saginaw Valley State. With 15 seconds to play, they went to their stud, Chad Galliard, the All-American, isolated with Woods on the fade route. And at 6'3", was just too big and made the grab. And we're tied at 20. I said for the lead, we're tied at 20. The extra point is to come to put the Cardinals on top. And timeout taken by Truman.
Well, whatever extra point block you have play, now's the time. The Bulldogs went up 13. We up here didn't think much of going for two, as you were
But people around us have said, why don't you go for two? We didn't think it was going to come to that point.
I know.
I didn't
You can coach now and say, yeah, right, you should have went for two. I don't ever go for two when I got the lead, unless it's late and it's a one-score type situation. But certainly it's something you could talk about.
There, if you went for two and didn't make it, that this game's over with. It's 20-19.
Yeah. Now this is for the lead, the extra point. Snap is good. Place down. And the kick is good for the lead, 21-20. And the Cardinals have answered back after the Bulldogs scored 17 unanswered points. Two fourth quarter scoring drives. And Saginaw on top 21-20 with 15 seconds to go.
Well, Mr. Woods, you got to...
I was going to say, you got a dynamic returner if he sees the football. And I would be surprised if he does.
You have one timeout. You can get a decent return, get a nice pass, and have the wind at your back. But it's a lot of things that have to happen the Bulldog way right there.
Yeah. So Woods will drop back with Malik Robbins. And we'll see how Saginaw plays it on the kickoff. Will they
split it,
squib, or go deep? Woods with a 90-yard kickoff return last week has two kick returns for a touchdown. He'll have a chance if he gets a good hop. He's got it at the 10, 15, 20, to the 30, drug down at the 32. 10 seconds left. Well, if you can get one big completion into Saginaw territory.
It's what you need. You need one completion.
In 10 seconds. And then try a really long field goal. Bulldogs have one timeout left. If they get a completion.
Woods to the near side, Ruffin to the far side, Nichols in the slot.
Barr takes the snap. Lets it fly, and it is knocked down at the 46-yard line. He was looking for Ruffin, and 5 seconds went off the clock. Well, the Bulldog defense, so good through three quarters, could not get that one fourth down stop they needed in the fourth quarter. At least a handful of fourth down plays for Saginaw on those two drives. And Conklin was steady as a signal caller to keep them alive. Barth throws it downfield, and it is intercepted to end the game at midfield. Nick Whiteside with the interception, and that ends the game. Saginaw Valley State with the fourth quarter rally. They pull out a 21-20 victory at home here at Wicks Stadium. Our Colton Steakhouse and Grill postgame show will begin after this timeout. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
Let Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville cook for you tonight. With so many delicious menu items to choose from, USDA choice juicy steaks, fresh seafood, tender chicken, fall-off-the-bone ribs, fresh ground burgers and crispy salads, even something for the young at heart. There is definitely something for everyone in your family. Dine in or take home, Colton Steakhouse and Grill can cater to any palate. Let Colton Steakhouse and Grill, located on Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville, do the cooking for you.
Imagine you've fallen, you're injured, and you can't move. How long is too long to wait for help to come? Now, pretend it's your mother who has fallen. All of a sudden, the situation demands immediate assistance. This is Kim Thompson. At the Shelbina Villa Life Care in Shelbina, we treat every residence response call as though they are your mother. Our average response time to a call is only 9 seconds. Shelbina Villa Life Care in Shelbina. It's an option to assisted living facility, and it's the next best thing to home. View ShelbinaVilla.com.
Important notice. Important notice.
Hi, this is Gail, owner of Due Furniture and Sleep Center. After 13 years, I've made the decision to slow down, enjoy life a little more, and to retire. In order to make this possible, I've ordered a massive wall-to-wall fine furniture and mattress sell-off. Everything must go, nothing held back.
Unbelievable store-wide savings. The deal of a lifetime awaits you during this historic retirement sell-off event at Due Furniture and Sleep Center, Highway 24 West, Moberly.
You're really going to love this store.
Colton Steakhouse and Grill postgame show, and Hank Jansen, disappointing one here on the road.
A gut wrencher, gentlemen. Two scores in the last 4 minutes, 15 seconds. You know, to me, the key towards the end, you're second and eight, and you've got it back. You can't lose 7 yards on second down. You've got to get some positive yards. There was a little lane to cut up. You've got to get some positive yards so you can still think about running it at third and six or even third and seven perhaps. Instead, you had to throw it. The incompletion stopped the clock. Clearly, a little bit of time, you know, if you'd have run there, who knows how it might have worked out. And I also would point to two or three times in their last drive, you're trying to strip the football and you gave them 15 or 20 extra yards instead of just making the tackle. So it's a gut-wrencher for these guys, man. Your offense got going in the second half. Defense, for the most part, until the last minute. And, you know, it's hot and wore out. I thought their defense, I thought the Saginaw defense was worn out at the end of the third, start of the fourth. And towards the end of the fourth, Dogs looked a little worn out in this sun and this humidity, this heat. But what a gut-wrencher for these Bulldogs. 20-7 lead, get nipped 21-20 with 15 seconds left.
All right, we'll send it back down to you in a bit to hear from head coach Greg Nesbitt. Well, Kevin, just one fourth down stop. Just one.
Just one.
That's all we needed.
Five of them in that last 4 minutes.
It was five.
That they had, and they just couldn't pull it off. And, you know, both the defense gave up some plays there in that last 5 minutes. The offense couldn't. So, I mean, you can't point the blame at either side of the ball. It's got to be shared by both sides on this disappointing loss.
But once again, we see some improvement this week. Thought the team looked better, certainly.
Rass Woodsy obviously emerged as a target and a weapon from here on out.
There for the third quarter, good stretch of offensive football for these Bulldogs, and they had it rolling, produced a run of 17 unanswered points. Two Jordan Salima touchdown runs sandwiched around a 36-yard field goal by Josh Scheiderer. But it was Saginaw Valley State. Urgency down 20-7. They're able to produce two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter for victory. The last coming with just 10 seconds left on the clock. Dejected bunch heading off the field as they leave the huddle now for Truman. We'll have to regroup, make another long road trip next week. Bulldogs will head to northwest part of Indiana to play Valparaiso. 1 o'clock kickoff.
You know, you look at, they scored with 4:41 left. That capped off a 19-play, 70-yard drive that took 8:30 off the clock, is what the stat sheet says here. And then three and out, went right back onto the field and drove it. Well, they started that last drive at their around the 30, 35-yard line after the punt.
And the other credit I'll give is the coach went ahead and kicked off. You know, he didn't do the onside kick. He kicked it off, and it paid off. Let's go down to the field. Hank has the head coach.
Greg, a gut-wrencher. Offense came to life in the second half, played well. Defense, for the most part, played well. A gut-wrencher.
It was. You know, right now our club is snake bit, did a lot of things well at different times. Very pleased that we did come to life and flicker a little bit offensively in the third. Had a lot of guys that obviously played with a lot of effort today. Had a few that perhaps didn't. And, you know, and I hate to be negative, but we'll look at the videotape and see that. And bottom line is, on defense, we've got them fourth and a country mile on a couple different occasions, and we flinch to allow them to come back in a game. And offensively, as well as we played in the third when we needed you most, in the fourth we went backwards.
On your third down play, last time you had the ball, a little over 3 minutes left Did you think about just running it, force them to use that last time out, or what was your thought on that one? I know, you know, sometimes you got to grasp it and take it and go for the first down and then win it, but still, I thought you may keep it on the ground, force them to use their last time out.
Yeah, probably an error, no question, Hank, as you look at that thing. You know, that entire series, quite honestly, was a debacle. So that kind of was the explanation point.
Well, their quarterback made some things happen running, obviously the scramble that got him down in there. But heck of a ball game, Brad, Coach. Hot, and, man, your guys fought hard. 15 seconds.
No question. You know, and for the fans are there, this was a high-quality college football game. You know, obviously you can feel the discouragement in our announcer's voice and the coach's voice and certainly in the players, but this was a high-level competition. Kids did a lot of things well. Unfortunately, we just flinched a little bit and didn't seal the deal in the last half of the fourth quarter.
Now, the road trip next week, clearly long trip home tonight, regroup and come back to Indiana next week, so probably not any easier.
No, and you know, the tough part about this trip is the Sunday, the shortness, you know, from a coaching standpoint, the players cramped on the bus, you know, in terms of not being able to stretch your body out and all those types of things, but that is what it is. Well, we've dealt with it before, so we've got to go right back to work tomorrow and work on being 1-0.
Thanks, Coach.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, what about your receiver who stepped up today, Mr. Woods, made some big plays for you. He's been kind of quiet. Potential there. They hooked up nicely today.
It was, and you know, the entire pregame stuff, fellas, was competitive leadership, and that's a guy stepping up in real time and making plays. And I thought Brass really epitomized that today, and we've been waiting for him. He's a quality kid, an excellent athlete, and you know, whether it's opportunities from a coaching staff or him making his own opportunities, and he did both today.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Coach. Thanks, Hank, down on the field. Colton Steakhouse and Grill post-game show before after the game. Stop by Colton Steakhouse and Grill, located on Business Highway 63, the Baltimore Strip at the south end of Kirksville, and enjoy the most tender and juiciest steak west of the Mississippi, or call ahead to have your order ready. And Brass Woods is our player of the game, as they just talked about down on the field. He really stepped up and gave this offense a shot in the arm today when the Dogs were really struggling to produce anything in the first half, had just two first downs and 70 yards of offense. Wood stepped up today, got him going, and then just the offense fed off of that. That run-pass option then became more prevalent, and Saginaw was off balance. And in that third quarter, Truman took it to the Cardinals. Woods had seven catches today for 88 yards, a long of 27. And he is our player of the game, brought to you by Buck Brothers. Go to Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive in Kirksville for major engine, transmission, and brake repairs to your car or truck. Don't forget to look over their lot of quality pre-owned cars and trucks at Buck Brothers Sunny Slope Automotive, located on West Potter in Kirksville. Let's take our final timeout. We'll wrap up the broadcast with the final numbers coming up. You're listening to Bulldog Football.
When was the last time your family enjoyed excellent service in an atmosphere reminiscent of the American West? At Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Kirksville, we bring the Old West alive by serving the juiciest, most tender steaks around, along with our melt-in-your-mouth homemade yeast rolls. Colton Steakhouse and Grill is known for the best steaks west of the Mississippi, so come on in and see for yourself. At Colton Steakhouse and Grill, located on Highway 63 at the south end of Kirksville.
We'll delete it. We are back here at Saginaw Valley State University in Saginaw, Michigan. And again, the scoring highlights. Truman got a 32-yard field goal by Josh Scheiderer with 2:24 to go in the first quarter. Saginaw's touchdown in the first half coming on Ryan Conklin, 5-yard run. With 12:33 to go in the second quarter, it was 7-3, the Cardinals on top. But the Bulldogs exploded for 17 points in the third quarter. It was Jordan Salima with a 12-yard touchdown run, capping an 11-play, 80-yard drive that consumed 5:20. Dogs up 10-7. Scheiderer with a 36-yard field goal with 4:16 to go in the third, made it 13-7. And then an 8-play, 42-yard drive, a short field after a punt return. Nice punt return by Spencer Newell of 18 yards. Set up the Dogs at the 42. 8 plays, 4 minutes, 32 seconds. Selena caps that with a six-yard touchdown run that actually came early in the fourth with 13-16 to play, and the Bulldogs were up 20-7. But Saginaw Valley State has drives of 19 plays for 70 yards in 8 minutes and 30 seconds, and then 13 plays, 74 yards in 3:16. 32 plays in two fourth-quarter drives.
32 plays for Saginaw Valley, 8 plays for the Bulldogs here in the fourth quarter.
And they end up winning time of possession. At one point, the Bulldogs, when they scored, they had a 5-plus minute time of possession advantage. They end up down 5 minutes in time of possession.
11 minutes and 46 seconds on those two drives alone ate up most of the fourth quarter clock. Another thing I circled, 6 of 7 on fourth down conversions today by Saginaw Valley.
Yeah, and that's really where it came to. You just get the one fourth down stop anywhere of those handful that they had. I think it was maybe 5. Let's see. When the Bulldogs had scored, they had one fourth down conversion.
Well, they were 6 of 6 in the fourth quarter.
So they were 6 of 6. So they had 6 of them in the fourth quarter that they were able to convert. So we can slice and dice this one all you want, but you got 6 chances there that you make one play to stop, and then that ends it. But credit to Saginaw Valley. Ryan Conklin today, 26 of 42, 229 yards passing, 1 touchdown. He was sacked 3 times. He also ran the ball for 41 yards and 2 scores. He was quite the leader for them today.
He put it on their shoulders as a junior quarterback. He's going to be pretty salty to contain, and this is going to be a fun team to watch going forward in this league.
Edmondson had 8 catches for 85 yards, and when they wanted to play at the very end, they went to their All-American, Chad Galliard, with a touchdown, a catch on a fade route over Woods in the end zone, isolated one-on-one, 8 catches, 73 yards for Galliard. Some numbers for Truman. Jaden Barr today, 15 of 24 passing, 146 yards. Still looking for that first touchdown pass of the season. Jaden ran it 7 times for 46 yards. Jordan Salima, 18 carries, 32 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Andy Satula, 4 carries for 12 yards. Brass Woods, 7 catches, 88 yards. Dante Ruffin had 2 for 30. Hayden Holt had 2 for 6, and Jordan Salima had an 8-yard catch. Brock Roller, 5 punts for an average of 46.8 yards, a long of 54. Jordan Siegel had a good game defensively with 11 tackles, 2 behind the line of scrimmage. DeAnthony Knight and Zach Nadel both had 10 tackles, and Lawrence Woods had 7. The problem with all those guys leading in the tackle race, they're all defensive backs.
Yes.
And a lot of that tackling came in the fourth quarter with several plays. 32 plays run on those two drives by Saginaw Valley State. They improved to 3-0. Bulldogs dropped to 0-3. Well, we're seeing progress each week. Unfortunately, came up 10 seconds shy of victory here today.
And the best part about this, we're seeing progress. We got another non-conference game next week, but let's work out the kinks, and then you put your eyes toward a conference and try to, make something out of this by winning a conference championship and being a force in that conference championship race.
So, a beautiful summer afternoon, a disappointing finish as the Saginaw Valley State able to pull it out in the fourth quarter. We'll talk to you next week from Valparaiso, Indiana. Truman and Valpo will hook up. 1 o'clock kickoff in northwest Indiana. We'll be on the air with the Truman tailgate at 12:10. Mizzou football coming up on 99.9 FM Kirk and CentralMoInfo.com starting at 4:30 today. 21-20, Saginaw Valley State on top. For Hank Jansen, for Stuart Cox back at the station, and for Kevin White. Brad Boyer saying so long from Michigan.
You've been listening to Truman State Bulldogs football, brought to you by Buck Brothers, Sunny Slope Automotive Repair, and pre-owned car and truck sales, Colton Steakhouse and Grill, Century 21 Whitney Agency, Pancake City, Dr. John Bailey at Mid-America Orthopedic and Spine Institute, and Truman State University, all of Kirksville, Columbia Orthopedic Group of Columbia, Sheraton Valley.